time late. I was collecting gifts. I've been inundated with lovely bits and pieces and more special requests, especially for me, my penultimate show. The lovely Tim Wallace and Helen Taylor have returned, and I couldn't be more delighted. And today, the usual curiosities.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
It's midday, I'm Claire Miller. A drug addict from Maida Vale who tortured and killed his baby daughter has been jailed for life. 26-year-old Sitab Ullah thought three-month-old Samira was possessed. He left her with serious head injuries, broken ribs, wrists and ankles, and cigarette burns all over her body. A man from Luton has died in hospital in Rome after being seriously hurt in Tuesday's Italian train crash. 49-year-old Antonio Velillo suffered head and chest injuries and died after having surgery last night. Reporter in Rome, Nick Pisa, says some members of his family are still in hospital.
His wife Lydia and his daughter Gabriele, who's eight, were also very, very seriously hurt. Both, again, had head injuries. Gabriele, the doctors say, has a piece of skull embedded in her brain, and she and the mother are both in intensive care in separate hospitals in Rome.
Tony Blair has told British soldiers on a surprise Christmas visit to Basra that he intends to draw down Britain's military presence in Iraq. The Prime Minister has been at Basra Air Base for a meeting with British and US military leaders. He later told troops that restoring stability to Iraq would deal a body blow to the global terrorist network. This recording has been sent back to us via satellite phone.
I know it must be very difficult as well as very dangerous, especially at this time when everyone else is back home for Christmas and New Year. But I wanted to thank you, and I also wanted to just to say to you how important it is that we see this mission through here.
Tube drivers are due to announce later whether they'll be causing new misery on New Year's Eve. They're expected to call a strike for December 31st when London Underground offers free trains after 11:45 at night. A government-backed website has gone online to warn us of the dangers of cosmetic surgery from cowboy plastic surgeons. The chief medical officer is hoping it'll prevent more patients suffering botched operations. Tanya Shirt had an operation to have her ears pinned back, but there was a problem.
When the bandages went on, something went horribly wrong, and it killed all the outer rim of one of my ears. The whole of the outer rim just died. It looked as if it was just dry blood.
Jackie from St Albans had an operation to make the skin under her arms more taut. She's told us doctors couldn't easily remove the stitches. She's been left with permanent damage.
On that side where he couldn't get the thread out, I've got this huge, like, long scar running from my armpit to my elbow. Sort of like a purpley colour. I think it's called keloid, when it goes keloid.
And in showbiz news, Sienna Miller's ruled herself out of starring alongside former boyfriend Daniel Craig in the new Bond movie Casino Royale. She fears the role may end her career and undo all the hard work she's put into her most recent project, the film Casanova. The search for a female to star opposite the new 007 still on, with shooting due to begin in February. Taking a look at London's weather for you then. Well, quite cloudy again, but mild. 10 Celsius the top temperature. And right now we've got 9 Celsius at Ladbroke Grove. Sun setting 3:53. Then tonight, very similar to last night, mild with lots of cloud around, lows of 8, and tomorrow dry, fairly cloudy and mild again, highs like today of 10. That's LBC weather with Well Woman Advanced Nutrition Capsules from Vitabiotics, available from chemists and health stores, or visit wellwoman.com. It's 3 minutes past 12.
London's LBC 97.3.
And now, live from beautiful downtown Bramley Road, in the very shadow of the Wine City Estate, it's Sandy Toksvig.
And on today's show, the countdown to Christmas continues. Helen and Tim are Sandy's friends today. As Santa saddles up the reindeer, there's flatulence, bunnies, and a 1940s Christmas. For the last time, take it away, girls.
Samuel and Sandy Beamer's homies. We've all been utterly balmy once. We've had the jolliest japes and been in several scrapes. And just for a lark, we meet in the park to pelt each other with grapes. So sing it in Latin if you're clever, or sing it in English if you are a dunce. Semel insani vimus omnes. Yes, we've all been balmy once.
Hello, my lovely people. And indeed, I am joined by, I have to say, lots and lots of friends who have been coming back to send me off on my way And by my own personal special request, Helen Taylor and the lovely Tim Wallace are returned to these shores.
Hello.
Hello.
How lovely to see you.
So good to see you. Didn't realise how much I miss Sandy until she's sitting opposite me, actually.
I can't believe this is the last time that we're going to be here. I know it's not your last show, but it's...
Tomorrow's the last one. But Tim, we're playing out one of your plays that you wrote today.
Yeah, little comedy dramas. I'm thrilled.
So that'll be nice. We'll look forward to that.
Lovely.
And Helen, what are you doing here, really?
I know. Well, I got married on Saturday, and obviously I'm trying to escape the hubby already. Going back to work was the more attractive option. So
Was the wedding everything that you'd hoped for?
The wedding was amazing, although there was one slight trauma in the sense that as we were in the car driving to the church, my friend who was sitting in the front seat, 10 minutes down the road, it was 4:30 in the evening, so it was... you know, people in this freezing cold church waiting for us. And she suddenly went, "Where are your flowers?" And I'd totally forgotten my bouquet of flowers. And the funniest thing was, I was so peeved in the car that I'd forgotten these blooming flowers. I was going, "Can't believe I forgot my..." That it totally dispelled any nerves that I had. But the funniest thing was, is that as I walked up the aisle, I could hear my mum going, "Where's that bouquet? Where's that bouquet? Where's that bouquet?"
The only one to notice,
yes, exactly,
your mum.
Exactly.
So you didn't get a chance to toss?
No, I didn't. No.
Okay,
not the bouquet.
Anyway, this is... Now, here, what are the chances of this, OK? Serendipity or what?
Yes.
There's a regular listener who lives in Rotterdam in the Netherlands, and this year I published a new book called Hitler's Canary. And this regular listener says, "Last week, my Dutch publisher handed me the contract to translate Hitler's Canary." That was extraordinary. "Since you'll be doing different things in 2006, I was hoping you might be willing to come to the presentation of the translation in April. I shall, Rita. The plan is to give the first copy of Hitler's Canary to one of our greatest surviving war heroes, Truss Menger, who saved countless people under very, very difficult circumstances. As it happens, I translated her short stories into English several years ago when she got a knighthood for her 75th birthday, and she has been teaching children for decades that war is terrible." Isn't that... What are the chances?
Yeah, that's amazing.
So she's one of the regular listeners, and she's going to be translating my book.
Small world.
I know. Mm. Serendipitous. That's what. Let's look for that today. Things that happen by chance. Because actually, we went round the office and everybody's got some sort of story about running into somebody that you hadn't expected.
Oh, I've got one that's just happened, literally 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
Prior to coming along this morning, I put the Ashes DVD into my DVD that, in fact, is very naughty because I'm giving it as a present, but I was just dying to see...
Nevertheless.
I was dying to
used
see...
Used goods, Tim.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it? But and I wanted to watch one little bit of it, and that was Kevin Peterson's final innings, and I saw 5 minutes of it. I walked in here, and he was standing right there in the doorway. I was absolutely gobsmacked.
Oh, that's... I love things like that. Yeah. There's a bit in your head that goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. Let us know your serendipitous moments. Apart from anything else, it's a lovely excuse to say that word. We're going to take a short break and come back with the Advent calendar.
Reason 133. Save £8 on a 70 centilitre bottle of Glenmorangie malt whiskey. Now only £16.39. Reason 297. A 150-gram pack of Morrison's The Best Speyside Smoked Salmon for only £3.69. More reasons to shop at Morrison's.
Sandy Toksvig.
Today, Sand is joined by Helen and Tim.
Helen Taylor, very pleased to see that the intellectual benchmark of the show is just constantly on the rise.
You're very good at that.
That was Flatulina, who suffers from some kind of hypergastric condition, and she's made a living out of it, and she is advertised as sassy, classy, and gassy.
No.
That was one of our regular listeners, Carol Naylor, who recommended that.
And she said, many sprouts.
Please abandon good taste just for a moment.
Yes.
The penultimate show.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, I like it now. Yesterday we set fire to the studio. Hey, what do I care? It's the only time in 3 years I've seen Tim look slightly anxious.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yes. To get his kind of heart racing above sort of slow.
He's the most zen man I know.
Exactly.
Yes. So, listen, we're going to open the advent calendar door. What we do is we have an audio advent calendar. We open the door. Behind it is someone who has appeared on the programme. The first person to guess who it is will receive something lovely. And I say it like it's a secret because I actually don't know what it is. So here is the advent door.
saying, oh, my God.
Yeah, that was the day that we put the studio on a track. Who was that person screaming there? 0870 9090 973. And I should also tell you that as tomorrow is our very last day here, at 1 o'clock, we are selling on eBay the entire contents of the studio. So I think, what do you have to look at? You have to Sandy Toksvig studio. Search eBay and you can have a look. And everything, even the fireplace, is going. And the Bakelite headphones and some of the lovely wood panelling that we have in here and the leather chairs from which we broadcast. Have a look. It goes live at 1 o'clock and you could bid for the entire contents of the studio.
Now, that is going to be a big one.
It's not bad. It's not bad, is it?
You should raise pennies with that.
Yeah, I think so. Now then, lots and lots of... I'm overwhelmed by the emails and presents and I just simply can't kind of read it all out. But David from Chesham deserves reading out because he sent us chocolates. See, he sent us Gordon Ramsay's Just Desserts. Ooh. And Ooh. Gordon Ramsay's Secrets, the Secrets of Indulgence. So I'm going to hand those over. And also, interestingly...
You'll never see those again.
I like this, which is... I don't know, does this sell in in Britain? This is an American make that I'm familiar with. Can you get these in Britain? It's a,
yes.
Okay, it's a herb, thing. And it's Montreal Steak Grill and Sizzle... seasoning. And I love the combination of the chocolates and the slight oddity.
He sent you both?
Yeah, he sent me both, and I like that because that strikes me as the perfect listener.
Which
yeah.
is slightly... Something savoury, something sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also odd.
Yeah.
which I like very much indeed. And he says lots of lovely things. So, David from Chesham, thank you so much, amongst all the other lovely people.
I am opening these, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm supposed
sure.
to.
Aren't I? Oh, no, there's no point in getting food if you don't.
No one should pass chocolates to me and think that they won't get opened.
Now, listen, I read the most curious headline this morning. Jerry Springer won't run for Ohio governor.
Oh,
and I thought, it never even crossed my mind.
No.
But then Arnold Schwarzenegger, that didn't cross my mind either.
Yeah.
And in fact, Ronald Reagan being president, that never crossed my mind either. So I was thinking about, because lots of people have been saying, well, Sandy, what are you going to be doing next year?
Yeah.
Because I should be freed from my daily duties. I don't want to be Ohio governor. I've certainly ticked that one off.
That's a shame, because I think you'd make a very good governor, actually. Governoress.
Governoress.
You were next on the list, it's got to be said.
Well, it would have been a wonderful opportunity.
What are you going to be doing next year?
Well, the first thing is I thought I might have lunch with a few friends.
Yes. People you haven't seen for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Well, the only difference between what I do now is that I'll be having lunch with friends, but it won't be being broadcast. Yes. I imagine the conversations will be much the same, in fact. I'm going on tour with the lovely Bonnie Langford. We are going to be doing a new stage show called Short and Curly.
Oh, wow.
What's that going to be, then?
I haven't the faintest idea, because we open on February the 10th, and I've not written it yet, but it will be fine.
Now, you see, how does that work?
I was going to say that...
I hear this, you know, we're going to do this show, but I haven't actually written it yet. And I think, how does that happen?
Do you know,
I bet it'll be absolutely brilliant and you'll get it done.
Is it just a two-woman show?
Well, what it is, that Bonnie and I discussed the whole one-woman show thing and we've both done shows of 2 hours in length on our own. Right. And it's so boring in the dressing room.
Mm. Yeah.
It's so dull because you just go... I'm a bit nervous. So am I. Do you want a coffee? Don't mind if I do. You know, you just feel like you're going out of your mind. Mm. And she and I have been in a musical together before, and the bit that we actually liked best was the bit in the dressing room, just having a laugh together. So we're doing the ultimate one-woman show with two people in it.
Fantastic.
So we're going to be doing that. And as for the writing thing, well, do you know, the closest I've ever come in my life to being right up to the deadline was I did a show which opened at the Nottingham Playhouse called The Pocket Dream. And I actually walked past the poster and thought, I must just jot down a few thoughts on this subject.
But do you only work do you only work best when you have a deadline? If you're writing something just for the hell of it that you don't have a deadline for, does that just not do it for you?
I'm a bit of a SWAT girl. But I also find that actually, although I say I haven't written a word or anything, it's there in the back
it's
of my
in
head.
Your mind, yeah.
It's ticking over constantly. So for example, if I'm writing a novel, by the time I sit down to write it, it's almost painful because you can't write it fast enough.
Yeah.
Because it's all sitting there in your head, and you just want to kind of get it out.
In your head, you don't make lots and lots of notes, you just go straight for it.
I do loads and loads of research, which I love. It's the best bit, right? Yeah. I sit in the British Library and at 10 o'clock I have scones. You know, this is the best bit of my day.
Yeah.
And I love that. And that is one of the things I should be doing. I should be going back to spending time in the British Library. But then actually, what happens at the end of the day is you leave all the research behind. It somehow lodged itself. Mm. The bits that are significant have lodged themselves in your head.
Mm. You take with you.
But if anybody's got any other suggestions as to what I might do with all this fabulous free time that I'm going to have you know, suggestions for careers perhaps that I hadn't thought of. Do let me know.
Dancer, I've told you. You're wasted on radio.
It's so true, darling.
The new leader of the Liberal Democrats. It's got to be. Surely.
See,
now,
you said he doesn't drink enough.
You, no, but you, Josh, eventually politics is one of the things.
Really?
I wasn't joshing. I think it's a... I really do think you should.
Well, I don't want to be a member of Parliament.
Right.
But what I'd like to do is sit in the House of Lords where you can actually sit on committees and do some good. Mm. I mean, unfortunately, the MPs, they have an awful lot of time spent dealing with people's double glazing issues, and that really probably wouldn't do it for me.
So the surgery on a Saturday morning is not your idea of fun.
And anyway, I'd feel sorry for everybody. I go, well, it's an outrage. Something must be done. So suggestions, please, as to what I might do with all my lovely free time. And I can tell you that Maggie in Chadwell Heath guessed that was the lovely Bonnie Langford on some kind of massive roller coaster, which I declined to take part in on the day that we went to Disneyland. We're going to go now to the trouble with Joanne Webb, and we're going to come back with a bunny movie.
Got some problems to the north of town. The A10 at 10, that's Hartford Road in Enfield Wash. It is closed both ways at Ordnance Road. It is after an accident. Probably going to be closed until around 1 o'clock this afternoon. Heading towards the Hanger Lane Gyratory on either the A40 or the North Circular Road. Do take it nice and easy once you get to the gyratory, as the traffic lights aren't working properly. Now, it's very slow on Buckingham Palace Road southbound. It's due to the amount of coaches that are travelling towards Victoria. In Twickenham, a car's broken down on the A316 Chertsey Road. If you're heading out of town, you're going to find it's queuing because of this all the way to the Hospital Bridge roundabout. And in Brixton on the A23, there's a lane closed northbound due to a collapsed manhole cover, and that's causing queues. If you're heading towards One Railway from Liverpool Street, well, I'm afraid there is massive disruption today, and there's loads of trains cancelled all the way through today because of a driver shortage and the industrial action that's taking place. And if you're using the Underground, the Jubilee line is still suspended between Stanmore and Willesden Green, and the Circle and District lines are both running with delays as well. Your next update in 30 minutes, LBC 97.3 Travel with Confused.com. When it comes to car insurance, we'll do the legwork for you.
London shops on Christmas Eve
are strung with silver bells and flowers
as hurrying clerks the city leave
to pigeon-haunted classic towers.
And marbled clouds go scudding by
the many steepled London sky.
And girls in slacks remember Dad.
And oafish louts remember Mum.
And sleepless children's hearts are glad.
And Christmas morning bells say come.
Even to the shining ones who dwell
safe in the Dorchester Hotel.
Happy Christmas from London's LBC 97.3. Real life, real London.
Have you been injured while driving, walking, working, shopping, or even playing? If you weren't to blame, you could be entitled to compensation. But don't trust your case to expensive, non-qualified claims handlers. BGR Bloomer offers a totally free service to all their clients. They fight to get maximum compensation for you, and it won't ever cost you a penny. Call BGR Bloomer for free, anytime, on 08000 50 10 55. Call now, 08000 50 10 55.
Sandy Toxley.
Today, Sand is joined by Helen and Tim.
I'm going to teach you how to sing. Let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. When you read, you begin with A, B, C. When you sing, you begin with Do, Re, Mi, Do, Re. Happen to be Do, Re, Mi. Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti. Come on, I make it easy for you. Listen.
Mrs. Wing, she is
180?
180 years old, and she takes elocution lessons from Jonathan Ross.
Yeah.
And,
or Carol Thatcher.
She was born originally in Hong Kong, and she's now a cult hit in New Zealand.
Is she?
And on this station. At this particular time.
What's the name of that lady that Maureen Lipman is portraying at the moment?
Florence Foster Jenkins. It's people with enormous courage.
Yes.
And a great determination to succeed and absolutely zero talent.
Yeah.
And I love it. Yes. I applaud it. I just think that's part of what we've been trying to do over the last 3 years is to collect the oddities of life.
And here we are.
And that's why the two of you had to come back. Actually, I have thought of a job that I would quite like to do. This is an old job we'd have to bring back. Elizabeth I used to have an official uncorker of bottles. Now, you would think that this was the person who stood by her table and opened her wine. Yeah. Not so.
Yeah.
A law was passed that stated that any bottle that washed up onto the shore, this man had to come and open it in case it contained a secret military message.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What are the chances you're standing around waiting for orders? What are the chances? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm gonna shove it in this bottle, and hopefully the official uncorker of bottles. I could see myself doing this, sitting in Whitstable, say.
Yes. You'd have a lot of free time, wouldn't you?
Do you not think? Yes. I think this might well be the way forward.
I might just start planting messages myself, actually, yes, to spice things up.
Now, one of the great curiosities that we collected was there's a website where a brilliant American woman has redone old movies entirely reenacted by rabbits. Now, we are only able to play out, I have to tell you, the vocal bit of it, but do check it out. We'll put a link on our own website so that you can find them. Which one are we going to play? We're going to do their Christmas special. Yeah, this is their current Christmas special. It's a movie done entirely by rabbits.
For us kids, the entire year revolved around lovely, glorious Christmas.
What do you want for Christmas, Ralphie?
I want an official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle.
Oh, no, you'll shoot your eye out.
I can't put my arms down.
Suck, suck, suck!
Come on, guys, wait up! Mommy's little piggy!
It's here. What a great lamp.
You'll shoot your eye out.
No.
Wow. Whoopee, a zeppelin.
Oh, that's precious.
Hey, I think you missed a present.
Mom, can I try it out?
Don't shoot your eye out.
And he does, of course, shoot his eye out. It's just ridiculous. And you can also watch Titanic, Close Encounters, The Shining, all done with rabbit. 30-second films made by rabbits.
Wow.
It's hilarious. And the other thing that Tim and I were watching this morning, which unfortunately we can't do on the radio, but we've put a link on the website. It's the most fantastic piece of genuine footage from a Belgian chat show, and it doesn't matter that you don't understand what the heck they're saying. It is a very serious discussion program about sexual malfunctioning, whatever you call it, you know, some sexual difficulties. And he interviews the first person, and they talk very seriously about their sexual difficulty, and he then gets the next person, who's a man who talks like a eunuch. Who
goes, I've seen it. I've seen it.
And instantaneously, the interviewer starts to laugh. He goes,
yeah.
And then he can't stop.
Oh, no, of course you can't.
Cannot stop laughing.
It's the most hysterical thing.
Yeah. It's infectious.
What is the website?
We'll stick it on the LBC website so you can find it.
And of course, the noises that he makes trying to suppress his laughter is quite extraordinary.
That's just the worst thing when you know you're not meant to laugh, though.
And also, if you look at it, I watched it a couple of times, and if you look at some of the members of the audience as well, who are also starting to go because of him going, they really don't want to either. So you've got it, it's beginning to spread. It's hysterical.
I was really worried, actually, because at the wedding, my husband's father is a vicar, and he's did the service.
So you need to behave.
Yeah, I need to behave. But the local vicar, lovely chap, but he when he spoke, and talked like that, you couldn't understand the words he was saying. And the worst thing was is that I was so convinced that some of my friends, not being particularly PC on occasions, I was going to be standing at the altar and he would start doing the prayers and I would just hear this collective...
Because once I start, that's me finished.
I
simply can't pull myself back together again at all. I remember when my brother and I went to the funeral directors to discuss my father's funeral, and the funeral director was being immensely respectful and therefore speaking in a very, very quiet tone, and I couldn't actually hear what he was saying. He was going, Father. appalling want desire to giggle.
Yeah.
And then I lost it completely because he put on the desk six models of different coffins and said, what do you think? And my brother said, I think they're too small. And that was me finished. Completely finished. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Excellent.
So I love the oddities and curiosities that we have managed to highlight. And I discovered that a lot of dictionaries, in order to protect the online, the electronic edition copyright, have taken to putting in a word or a person that they've made up entirely. And then they can then tell if people then reproduce the encyclopedia or the dictionary, because there's this kind of spurious thing that they've put in, which is not true at all. And the New Columbia Encyclopedia in 1975 had a woman called Lillian Virginia Mountweasel. She was described as a fountain designer turned photographer who was celebrated for a collection of photographs of rural American mailboxes entitled Flags Up. She was born in Bangs, Ohio in 1942 and died at the age of 31 in an explosion while on assignment for Combustibles magazine. And I love that somebody sat down and they thought, I know what we'll do. We'll have a think here and we'll go through, you know. And there's another one, Esquivalence, which was in the New Oxford American Dictionary, which they completely made up, and it is defined as the willful avoidance of one's official responsibilities. And I just love
it's
it.
Brilliant.
Esquivalence.
Yeah.
You just think, I might use that.
Yeah.
That's a very good word, and why not?
Yeah.
And if you use it enough, I think it will come into common parlance. I
think perfect logic.
Yeah, it's the way forward. Now, here's the thing I would like you to try while we try some oddities. I would like you to try to say the alphabet without moving your lips or your tongue, okay? Now, I've tried this, and what happens to me is that every single letter sounds exactly the same, OK? Right. So no lips and no tongue. Okay. Now, Tim, you're a great actor. You should be able to do this. Are you moving? A little bit of lip movement, I thought.
That's like trying to eat a donut without licking your lips, isn't it?
Yes.
It's just impossible.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Here's a curious fact that I thought you might enjoy. Americans use enough toilet paper in one day to wrap around the world 9 times.
Oh, my God.
How horrible is that? If it were on a giant roll, it would be unrolling at the rate of 7,600 miles per hour, which is roughly 10 times the speed of sound.
These sort of facts and comes up with these.
I don't know, but I enjoy them.
Yeah, I do too.
You see, I just think because it's silly, it's just nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about it.
Now, listen, while we're on the subject of things I might do next year, I quite like to have something named after me.
Mm.
Okay. I quite like the Toxvig something or other. And I was having a look at people whose names became, you know, the thing like Hoover, for example.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Algorithm, named after Algorithm. Did you know that?
No.
How stupid is that? Arabic mathematician, apparently. Mm. I don't think his name was like Al. I think it's like the beginning of Arabic.
Not sure.
And the beginning of an Arabic name. Bechamel sauce. Louis Bechamel.
How funny.
But Stroganoff. Count Stroganoff.
No.
Really?
I know. It's fab, isn't it? Biro. Joseph Biro.
Yes, I think I knew that one.
Where are some of the other ones? Braille. Louis Braille.
Really?
Yeah. Cardigan. The Earl of Cardigan. Now, I don't know.
And Sandwich.
Yes. See, that's one of my absolute favourites.
Yes.
And if I do ever end up in the House of Lords, you get to choose your own name. And the guy, Lord Salmon, he chose Lord Salmon of Sandwich, which I just think is... Do you not think that's heaven?
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Chateaubriand. Chateaubriand.
Yeah. So where would you choose? What would be your...
Something really obscure, I think, do you not? That something very, very, very tiny. Or amusing. I mean, Noel Coward said the funniest place in Britain was Budley Salterton.
Yes.
See, that would be quite pleasing, I think, to have somewhere amusing. Or somewhere that you think, what an unlikely place to have a baroness.
I didn't know you could choose. I thought it had to be some kind of link to you or pertain in some way to
Helena
where you've
Kennedy
lived or worked.
Chose a slum in Glasgow.
Ah.
Because she just fancied the idea of it, having a baroness of somewhere awful.
Yeah.
Any suggestions on a postcard, please? Except you send it on a postcard, I'll not be receiving it.
Some people talk about the weather.
Some people only talk about themselves.
Some gossip, some tell tales.
Some rabbits waffle and prattle. Some speak the truth.
Some speak out of turn.
Some people speak for us all.
Some make sense.
Some make enemies.
Some make a fool of themselves.
And some people make us understand effortlessly where they're coming from.
Some people drive us up the wall.
And some people captivate us.
Everybody has something to say. Are you listening?
London's LBC 97.3. Real life. Real London.
Oh, sorry, just blowing my nose. Oh, it's all got to be done, hasn't it?
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
It's 12:30. Good afternoon, I'm Claire Miller. A school's advisor from Maida Vale has been jailed for life for torturing and killing his baby because he thought she was possessed. 26-year-old Sitab Ullah left three-month-old Samira with injuries from head to foot. A father of three from Lucerne has died after a train crash near Rome earlier this week. Antonio Valila suffered serious head and chest injuries. He died in hospital this morning. His wife and daughter are still in intensive care. Detectives have been given more time to question a man about the failed London bombings on July 21st. They can now hold the 23-year-old until Monday. He was arrested at Gatwick Airport 3 days ago. Tony Blair has paid tribute to British troops during a surprise Christmas visit to Iraq. Prime Minister's told soldiers in Basra they could be very, very proud of the work they're doing. And Pride and Prejudice leads the nominations at the London Film Critics Circle Awards. The big screen adaptation of Jane Austen's novel is named in 8 categories, including Best British Actress for Keira Knightley and Best UK Director. London's weather, quite cloudy this afternoon, but staying mild. Top temperatures of 10, which is what we've got right now in St James Park. Tonight, very similar to last night, mild again, with a fair bit of cloud around and lows of 8. It's now 12:31.
London's LBC 97.3.
Real life.
Real London.
Clive Bull. We don't employ him for his singing. Clive Bull starts at 8, Monday to Thursday evenings.
London's LBC 97.3.
You'll never get rid of me.
Sandy Topsley.
Today, Sandy's joined by Helen and Tim.
He's got the biggest rig in Texas, and the girlies think he's swell. They all want him to show them the way he sings so well. So he's got himself a motto. Every night you'll hear him yell, drill them all, big and small, drill them all. Now if there's virgin land, he'll find it. He don't care how deep he goes. He sneaks right up behind it. That's the only way he knows. He just gets out his rig, and then he digs in with his toes. Drill them all, big and small, drill them all. He gets that certain feeling.
That was the astonishing Ruth Wallace, who was a huge hit in the United States in the 1950s. I mean, hard to imagine that he was singing that kind of innuendo, but I'm probably no worse than some of the stuff Murray Lloyd and so on got away with on the music halls. I love it. I love the whole thing that there were these extremely funny women out there, even if we don't sort of, we haven't kind of kept up with the fact that they were there. And it was the innocence with which she sang it.
She was a huge star, Murray Lloyd, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, she also did lots of naughty.
Yeah.
And Dame Nellie Melba.
Yes.
Moving on. Actually, she was another one. She was another one who had things named after her. Melba Toast and Peach Melba, for reasons I can't explain on the radio. This one's quite horrid. Talking about things that are named after the individual. Fallopian Tube.
Oh.
Gabriel Fallopius. Hooligan? Yes. Patrick Hooligan.
No, stop it.
No, I love them. I think they're fantastic. And Tupperware, which I like very much. Earl Silas Tupper. And Thespian, from Thespis, the 6th century BC Greek god. And that brings us... Do you see how I do that?
That was seamless.
Wasn't it? You're quite impressed.
Oh, actually.
Lucy Coward, as in Noel. The lovely Lucy Coward, our own arts correspondent, is here. And you've brought us a dame of the day.
Hooray, it's my very own dame. It's my mum. Well, actually, no, she came yesterday. But this is my other mum in Aladdin.
Lucy
is Barry Ward.
Lucy is taking part in Aladdin at Oxted. I always get this wrong.
Yeah, Oxted.
At How Oxted, are you? Yes.
What are you playing?
I am Aladdin. She says, slapping her thigh.
Oh, fantastic. And Barry, you are giving
what? I'm Twanky. I'm Widow Twanky this year.
Right.
First time I play Twanky.
And this is a very awkward question. Do you give your twanky every year?
Well, no. I don't do twanky. I say the first time I did twanky, and it's mostly Sarah the Cook.
But you're in panto every year?
Yeah, for the last 20 years.
Right, and is it your profession?
No, I do it as a hobby.
What do you do for a living?
I make videos. No,
oh, hang on a minute, we're back to the twanky.
No, corporate video.
Oh, see, I'd gone into the Abbey Titmus area.
Yes.
I don't know what happened.
Well,
there.
I keep trying, but, you know, I can't afford that sort of stuff.
So what's the attraction?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. As I say, my first dame was 21 years ago now. Oh. And it just sort of seemed something that, you know, I wanted to do. I should have done. I don't know, when you're a kid, you know, you're going to be a footballer or that you know exactly what it was. And I just thought, I'm gonna do dame. And I know I'll be good at it. He says.
No, I mean, I sort of get a sense that you would be, because you seem very sort of
flamboyant.
Yeah. Have you really?
Do you do it at the same theatre, or do you go around lots of different...
Well, last year I did it at East Grinstead.
Yeah.
I'm back at Oxford this year. But I'm hoping... See, I think now, after doing it this long, that... I'm good enough to do it professionally, so I'm hoping someone's going
to
book me.
It's such a specific thing to decide that you're going to be. It's not like I'm just going to kind of be an amateur actor and work and do pantos every year. It's like I'm going to be a dame.
See, if you do it the right way, you make big bucks.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah.
What, being a dame?
Well, being in panto.
Right,
there was someone I was last year, H from Steps.
Oh, yeah, it's all those Z-list celebrities, though.
He was at the Theatre Royal at Brighton. And because he's H from Steps, he was on 20 grand a week.
No. See, but that's the tragedy. No, Standy, no. And I bless you for that.
Thank you.
Some of us wish we didn't know who he was.
So, darling, do you have your own costumes and do you keep
them? I don't know. They costume me every time. Usually I've got the same one that I wore 3 years ago this year, and I don't think they've washed it.
Oh. You see, it is a fascinating thing to how the business has changed. There used to be, when the only time I've done panto, I worked with a couple who did the Uglies together. They were my husband. They were sort of a cranky type people, my husband and wife, and they did the thing. And what they would do is they would do a panto, and they had all their own costumes, you know, frocks that did amazing things, and then they would do summer season.
Yeah.
And then they would do panto. And it was like that, and they were very specific type of act. They were a double act. They were an old-fashioned kind of double act. And it was a living. But do you think, Tim, now that there's a living in that, and that kind of element of the profession?
Well, I think, funnily enough, I think it's actually reverting to that sometimes. Because in the old days, not only was that true of panto and summer season, but actors used to go around with their own suits and dinner jackets and things like that. And they would be required to wear those in shows, you know, in reps and weekly reps and things like that. And, you know, that's coming back. You get asked could you wear the suit you wore in the interview or whatever. Mm. And you get asked to do all that. So maybe it's sort of actor will travel, has suit, will travel. Coming back now.
Funny enough, I just shot a television commercial which goes out in January and I am wearing my own clothes.
Yeah. Well, I think because a lot of the time they just can't afford to...
No, I don't think it was cheapness on their part. I think they wanted me to look like me, that it was just me. You know, so I just wore whatever I wanted.
Did you see the look of fear in my eyes as to
Helen,
why?
Helen, I was very excited yesterday, Helen. This will make you laugh, right? Helen knows that I am banned now from wearing tank tops. I was the queen of the tank top and they've all been thrown away. And I see them sometimes in Oxfam. But my tank tops, they still have not sold. And I think, I could go and get them back again. And yesterday, I was out for dinner. I saw a woman wearing a tank top. I was really beside myself. I said to my partner, they're on the way back. They're on their way. They're returning.
God, I need to keep a closer eye on you. I can see you. I'm worried.
I know. Helen once very kindly got me dressed entirely by Jaeger.
And didn't she look amazing? Were you here, Lucy, for that?
I don't think I was. I think
entirely by who?
Jaeger.
Oh, really?
We did a complete style makeup, hair, makeup, and Sandy looked so stunning. Yeah.
Comprised of...
Oh, it was very nice.
Black trousers
and a nice sort of greeny top.
Yeah.
And a little necklace.
Beautiful white... pure wool jacket.
Yeah. And I had my hair done, and
have
I had a handbag, and
posters?
Everything. And today I'm wearing a sweatshirt that I stole from my friend Adam McQueen, who works for Private Eye.
Thanks for styling up for me today.
Now then, Lucy and I were talking about the heart and the truth about panto, because I have a difficulty with some of the more professional pantos, is that I think they don't understand that it's all very well that you're having fun. It has to have some kind of truth about it. You have to believe that Cinderella is sad. You have to believe that Jack makes a mess of selling the cow. You have to have a kind of heart to it. And you were talking about the fact that when you're Aladdin, you have to go, you discover this amazing cave of jewels.
Yeah, I discover the cave of jewels. And one of the first things the director said to me is, you have to make me believe that this cave is full of jewels. And it's not, because we're in a children's nursery school rehearsing this. But you've never,
ever seen anything like it before. And I think it's one of the things that we've carried on learning with, especially now, because we've just moved from our rehearsal space into the theatre, and it's completely bare. And yet, when you come on and do that scene again, you've got to still... It's still got to be there in some way.
And have some heart to it. I mean, I think, Barry, one of the problems of making the jump that you would like to make from all the years of experience that you have is that sometimes, and I don't... and I'm not saying I think it's right, I think sometimes people in the profession can be sniffy about the amateur scene.
Absolutely,
which they shouldn't be.
No. I think it's changing now. Sir Ian is doing his twanky. Everyone's going,
He's sort of brought a legitimacy to it.
There is, yeah.
Simon Callow's...
He's doing it, he's jumping on it now. But I think somehow the professional pantos, you know, as you say, Z-list celebrities, and especially, I mean, I'm sort of around the Red Hill area, and, you know, it's not... People go, who? Who are they? Mm. Oh, they were in something 10 years ago.
Trouble is that I think a lot with the pantomimes now, and actually... It's a way for certain celebrities who haven't necessarily been on TV shows or in the public eye to actually make a fair amount of money. Mm. I mean, if you say, what is the run? 6 weeks?
Five, six weeks.
Well,
but they shouldn't. I had the misfortune of seeing Christine Hamilton play Fairy Godmother some years ago at the Yvonne Arno. And she did arms as though she was trying to send semaphore at the same time. It was the most astonishing thing. And she was just terrible. And what upsets me about it is that for many children, it is their first introduction to the theatre.
Yeah,
and I don't think people realise how much work goes into it, because I mean, I was discussing with Barry, and although he's played Dane for 20 years, the jokes have got to constantly be refreshed, and you were sort of telling me about where you find your jokes from.
Yes, Radio 4.
but it's still topical, and it's got to be of the moment, and so much of it always gets changed anyway.
So does that mean, Barry, that you have sort of studied... I mean, are you interested in the history of the whole thing about pantomime days?
Sort of, yeah. I think I should be more interested. I really don't know where the concept of Dame comes from. Someone did tell me that it started 2 centuries ago, where round by the docks and all the clipper ships would be lost at sea, and the wives of the sailors who would be husbandless would hang around the docks selling their wares, if you know what I mean.
As it were,
and of course these women were probably quite ugly, and they were lampooned, and men would dress up as these poor unfortunates and just make people laugh. I mean, I think that's where the dame is always sort of man mad. I mean, she's always after somebody.
I mean, I think the theatrical link is with Commedia dell'arte. I think it's Italian.
Is. Yeah.
I think it's probably back into Italian.
Yeah, and Harlequinade and burlesque as well. They were talking about that on Radio 4 the other day.
But it is a curiously British concept, isn't it?
And they're very, very popular, aren't they? And still, I mean, presumably you get very full houses.
Every night we're packed. I mean, it amazes me. You've got a man dressed up as a woman. You've got a woman dressed up as a man. People bring their kids to it. 20 yards outside the theatre, you did that, you'd be arrested.
Mm. Yeah.
So there's that sort of suspension. And really, that's really good, because I think a lot of people are coming back to panto because it's just not PC in panto. There's so many times that we can't make a joke at this and we can't do that, and bureaucracy has...
It's good old-fashioned fun, isn't it, really,
the
family?
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's all double entendre, and it's,
Tell me, was the Christine Hamilton one full, as a matter of interest? I mean, I'm just wondering whether all these pantos sell out every year, which is why they put...
I think they do. I mean, if you take a theatre in the catchment area, that one is in Guildford in Surrey, and it's got about 700 seats. Not a huge theatre. Mm. Absolutely. And what they do, of course, they book out whole schools to come and see it. And so, yes, absolutely.
But it's a lot of money, isn't it? I mean, if you say HMSX was earning 20 grand, Christine could have been well earning 30
could
grand.
Could be that, yeah.
That's an awful lot of bums on seats in order
The other thing is, I think, it's quite interesting about Ian McKellen doing it, and I think he's a most wonderful actor. But at the end of the day, I always divide actors up into turns and loveys.
Yeah.
Okay, and he's a lovey. He's a lovely. And I have a theory that turns can become loveys. So I'm a turn. I think I could probably become a lovey, but a lovey can't really become a turn.
Yes. I'd like to see him.
Yeah, I would.
Apparently, last year he did it, rave reviews, but I know a lot of, the dames were going...
Well, I saw him play Hook in Peter Pan, and it just didn't quite work. He just wasn't sort of relaxed enough somehow.
The reviews for him doing it this year said that some of the humour was very near the knuckle, particularly for young kids.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that they quoted, I was thinking,
I don't know if I'd be particularly comfortable taking a really young one to that. But they do get very near the mark, don't they, in these pantos sometimes, for the sake of the parents, I guess.
Am I right in thinking that he was also... It was also Aladdin last year, and he also played Twankey last year. So he actually, he's not... Because a lot of our... the joy about what we do is that the panto is different every year. And I think it goes in a 10-year cycle. We haven't done Aladdin for about 11 or 12 years. Mm. And yet, to do the same part again in the same theatre the next year must be quite difficult to recreate and give something different.
Yeah. So now let's give all the details about the Oxted Panto, please.
The Oxted Panto is on. It starts on the 13th of January, runs to the 21st. Only 9 performances to get your tickets. Oh. Tickets start at £6. And it's in Oxted at the Barn Theatre in Surrey, which is very easy to get to from Victoria Station.
And how big is the theatre?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, seats to 250.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. And also, I'm unexpectedly available for next year's panto.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am.
Got to do that.
In just a moment, a chance encounter which led me to book the next guest. But first, travel with Richard Hakey.
Let's go to the north of town first. In Enfield Wash, Hartford Road is down to a single shared lane at the junction with Ordnance Road following an accident from earlier. It's causing you delays both ways. Golders Green and the A1 Fallerton Way is queuing northbound on the approach to the north circular, which is also looking very heavy going westbound past Henley's Corner. M25 anti-clockwise at Junction 4 Orpington. Just had a call to say there's an accident blocking one lane on the exit slip road there. Emergency services on the scene. If you're passing that stretch, your updates are more than welcome as to how you're coping. 08000 68 60 80. Around towards the southwest of town in Twickenham, we've got a breakdown on the A316 Chertsey Road heading towards Apex Corner at the Hospital Bridge roundabout. All the lights remain out at the Hanger Lane gyratory, so expect heavy traffic on the North Circular on both approaches and the A40 Western Avenue 2. And taking a look at the tubes now for you. Jubilee Line, no service between Stanmore and Willesden Green. That's due to signal failure. And we've got severe delays to watch out for on the District Line. Your next update in half an hour. LBC 97.3 Travel with Confused.com. When it comes to car insurance, we'll do the legwork for you.
Which premium vodka is filtered through charcoal, made from birches grown deep in Eastern Europe? Clearly, Smirnoff. Available at Threshers. Makes a good time great.
Sandy Toxley.
And is joined by Helen and Tim.
This big country is a thing we know and share. We're here to build a better life for you because we care. The things you wear, the world you live in, are a part of our life too. And we're here to keep them looking good for you. Looking good for you. Satin suede, drapes and sweaters, suits and coats, woolens and leathers, everything, whenever, whatever, dry clean when you care. Satin suede, drapes and sweaters, suits and coats, woolens and leathers, things you want to keep forever, dry clean when you care. Dry clean when you care.
Our country has come a long way and accomplished much in the past 200 years. Our people have grown strong through the development of advanced technology, better health, and I think one could proudly say, an overall better way of life for everyone. There are many great industries...
That is the theme tune of the Dry Cleaning Institute of America.
That is brilliant.
Is that
I
heaven?
Love that. I
it's
love
the idea
that.
Of them doing such work on those harmonies, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Dry clean when you can.
Satin suede. Isn't that just heaven?
Wonderful.
Oh, I think I could have a career as songwriter if that's if that's a standard.
If anything else, I bemoan leaving here. It's because we have been able to find things like that.
Where do you find things like that, though?
I mean, the brilliant Steve Campen looks on the web.
Right. He trawls through in the early hours of the morning.
There's some that is the internet at its best. There are some wonderful stuff out there.
Bizarre.
And another one of my absolute favourites, which I think we played yesterday, was I'm a Mormon, which is the Mormon theme tune about how fabulous it is to be a Mormon. A few lordish names that might make you smile. Who's this from? Spencer thinks that I might liven the place up a bit. It could be from Upper Ramsbottom. Baroness Upper Ramsbottom. Sandy Balls, so Baroness Sandy Balls, that's it.
Very good. Oh, I like that one.
Happy Bottom, Baroness Happy Bottom. There's some very good ones. Actually, there's my favourite river in the UK is the River Piddle. And you can buy bottled piddle water.
Oh, fantastic.
You have to be Baroness Piddle.
Yes, I love that. Baroness that's who you should be, Baroness Piddle. Yeah.
Just taking it with, you know, the right degree of cynicism, I think. Now then, I met by chance a guest yesterday and he's not here.
Oh.
That's not right, is it?
No, that's wrong. That's
he met, so when he arrives, because he's an actor, Tim.
Yes, I think I
Ian
think
Kelly, I when he arrives, I feel that we should soundly tell him off.
His lack of punctuality. But he's a real expert. I've heard him talk before on the things that he's going to talk about today.
Oh, well, we'll see. Now, here's a curious thing. It was today in 1849 that the great writer Dostoevsky was led out for execution. He and his comrades had been being naughty, as far as I can understand. Mm-hmm. And he stood in front of the firing squad, and then they said, no, we're not going to kill you after all.
Oh.
I know. Can you imagine? What? Hello?
Oh.
Who's this?
It's
the Jive Band.
Hey.
Okay. It's the... Thank you. Hello, Jive Band.
Hello.
How nice to see you. I've got a surprise for you later on.
Good.
Okay. Let's
Sandy dancing.
Yeah. So I was just thinking that maybe tomorrow when it gets to 5 to 2,
yes,
and I think that's it, they'll come in and they'll go, could you come back Monday?
Yes.
Are they going to do a sort of... This is your life. That's what they should...
I hope not, because Tim would have to be killed. That would be the way forward.
That's almost worth doing it.
No, tomorrow we're doing our pantomime.
Are you?
Yes, Sandy Does Carol. Are you doing tomorrow?
I remember my time as Cinderella.
Oh, you were rather lovely. We won an award.
We did, didn't we?
We did. We won a comedy award.
I completely fluffed my lines, Tim, and ended up laughing when I shouldn't have been laughing. And
That's the whole point.
Yeah. Have you done panto, Tim, in your theatrical career?
No. I've
really?
Never, no. No, I'm just thinking... No, I've never done a panto. No. I'd love to, but the three times a day thing would be a bit of a thing. I mean, because they do these 12 o'clock performances, and then the three, and then the eight.
I mean, I think the worst ever I did on New Year's Day, I did 10:30, 2:30, 7:30.
I did do A Christmas Carol though, which is not really a panto, well, sort of.
What were you playing?
I was playing Scrooge's nephew, Fred, in a really big, lavish production at the Sheffield Theatre Crucible. It was fabulous, and the kids just loved it.
See, that's great. And that's the thing that energises you. That's what kind of keeps you going.
Yeah.
Can anyone do panto? I mean, like, say, for example, I've never acted in my entire life, but if I say I decided that next Christmas I really fancied doing a panto, how would just someone go about getting involved in doing
Well, they have sort of, they have
it's a specialist branch,
managements, don't they, that put them on. They change their name, but sort of, I can't remember any, ECB.
So you'd have to go to an agency or something.
Yes, and then I think they sort of, there's a management that has most of the regional theatres covered for pantos.
But there is a particular skill in it, and it's a skill that all around entertainers have.
Mm.
And it's that thing of carrying on with the story of what's going on, but also being so comfortable with what they call breaking the fourth wall, being so comfortable with talking directly to the audience, that at no point does the audience worry that anything is going to go wrong. That's the skill of it.
Brian Connolly has it. He's brilliant at it.
But you see, that's proper old-fashioned entertainers. Yeah. And in his time, Michael Barrymore, who I bemoan the loss of his great talent in this country, who no longer performs here. Mm. Ken Dodd, I mean, the great kind of comics...
Yeah.
Had an amazing skill of actually, for 1 minute, you're crying with laughter. The next minute, you think, that's a bit sad.
Take you on a real journey.
Yeah, that I really care about that.
I do completely agree with you, though. It's very important that's maintained, because for a lot of these people, it's their very first visit to the theatre. And if that in some ways sullied their first experience, then it's...
But it has become a lot more about these sort of Z-list celebrities and names on posters rather than the talent, don't you think?
But
yes.
You know what? This is my honest belief, is that I think the managements think that sells tickets because they think so-and-so will go and see whoever that person
because
was.
Because they like Marty McClutchin or whoever.
I don't believe that's true.
No.
I really genuinely believe that if you do a jolly good production and nobody knows who the heck is in it, but they're proper professional good
it's
people...
quality.
People will still go.
Mm. Exactly.
Especially if you're in an area, a catchment area of a theatre that... that's it. That's the one theatre where you are. You know, so, for example, Nottingham Playhouse.
Mm.
I believe people would go because that's, you know, it's the thing that's on.
And their reputation goes before them. The Nottingham Playhouse is a fantastic theatre and people know it, so they'll go and see it. They don't necessarily, as you say, need a celebrity to boost it.
No, not at all. But what I can't bear is when you get, you know, the soap opera star who can't sing, who insists on having a number, and you think...
Then you see that more in the West End theatres. You know, you've got far more, like, you know, someone like Jerry Hall coming on, you know, and doing a production. And people, initially, tickets sell because obviously it's Jerry Hall and people want to see what she looks like and how she performs. But actually, as soon as it gets out that she's not actually performing very well and she's not very good.
I have to say, although I'm not a fan of Michael Billington, the theatre critic, I will never forget his review of Jerry Hall in The Graduate. Yeah. It was a celebrated scene where she appeared naked. Poorly lit, I thought, because I could see nothing at all. And he said, we all waited for this big moment. She finally appeared naked. And frankly, it was a storm in an A cup.
Fantastic.
She wasn't quite as well endowed as he'd hoped. I once had to present an award standing next to Jerry Hall. I suggested to her that she and I start a netball team. And I'm here to tell you that the woman has no sense of humour.
No, I was going
to
say, I can imagine that went straight over her head.
But that's quite a flight.
I was going
to
say.
That's quite a flight to send that straight over her head. We are going to take a brief ad break.
All your critical information is on your office PC. How do you work from home or while travelling? You probably copy everything to disk, email files to yourself, or sync up your laptop. What a hassle. There's a better way. Go to MyPC, the easy and secure way to access your PC from anywhere, all over the internet. Log on to gotomypc.co.uk and your desktop instantly appears, just as if you were sitting in front of it. Work with all your programs and files, check email and utilize any network resource. All you need is internet access. With GoToMyPC, anything you can do at your office PC, you can do from anywhere. No wonder GoToMyPC won a 2005 world-class award for remote access from US magazine PC World. And now you can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMyPC.co.uk, click the radio listener button and use promo code LBC97.3. That's GoToMyPC.co.uk, radio listener button, promo code LBC97.3. Try GoToMyPC free today. Terms and conditions apply.
London's LBC 97.3.
Sandy Toksvig.
Today, Sandy's joined by Helen and Tim.
And here they are, the lovely Helen and Tim. Now, on the subject of Christmas and curiosities combined... I've still got a tiny, tiny bit of Christmas shopping.
I've got all of mine to do.
Oh,
all of mine.
Just got
exactly. Because I had a few things on my mind. I literally.
Do you want to come to John Lewis this afternoon? We could have milkshakes while we're waiting.
I'm going into the West End.
Are you?
Yes, I'm meeting my husband, and we're going shopping in the West End. Come in the car with me.
Oh, I'll come with you and be a gooseberry. That'd be such fun. The newlyweds go shopping with their mascot.
Yes.
Yeah, really? That'd be lovely. Oh. What fun would that be? Have you done all yours, Tim?
I'm afraid I did a lot of it over the internet.
Yeah, me too.
That's sensible.
I did a lot of it on those shopping.
And there were various things that sort of nieces and nephews wanted in the game console line.
Yeah.
And I managed to order it all from Hong Kong, where it's much cheaper.
Wow. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, see, that's organised, because you probably had to do that, 6 weeks ago or something?
Yeah, but, okay, here's the drawback that hadn't occurred to me. The instruction booklets are incomprehensible.
And also...
And do they work on British...
No, they all work on... Yeah. Check that online.
Right.
Okay. I can't read the instruction booklets.
Well, kids never read instruction booklets,
I think
anyway.
They'll know automatically.
Exactly.
Now then, in Tokyo, if you wanted to get the ultimate gift for somebody, there is a department store called Takashima, I think. And they have a cake for sale. Doesn't sound like very much, right? But it's a double-layer marzipan-coated fruit cake. That's quite good. Okay. It's covered in 223 diamonds.
What?
Including one heart-shaped stone, which is 5 carats, which I'm here to tell you is a big old mother. I've only got the dollar price.
It's your wedding ring.
$1.7 million, which must be about £1 million. About £1 million for this cake.
That rings the saying, more money than sense, if anyone was to buy that. That's just ridiculous.
Just upset me.
Yeah, totally. It's just crazy.
Who thought of it?
It's like all these, you know, and these underwear companies, laundry companies, that do all these sort of diamond-encrusted sort of
golden-crusted gusset. Yeah. Yes, I know.
Pardon?
Is
that something you've ordered
online? Overwhelmed with pain. I don't know why. I don't know what's happened there.
A lot of chafing.
They're very popular.
Oh, really?
says Tim's shifting uncomfortably in his seat.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know, I'm not going to be able to get that thought out of my mind now. I'm a big pant girl.
Are you? Yeah. Are you a Bridget? Yeah, I knew you were.
I think I remember
trying to get you into thongs before, didn't
you?
It's me. Jaeger run to thongs as well, do they?
Helen's done her best with me over the years.
I have tried.
None of it has been a success. Bless her heart. I like it very much. Listen, here's a quick curiosity. When P.T. Barnum, the great American circus promoter, heard that the French actress Sarah Bernhardt was going to have her leg amputated, he sent her a telegram offering her $1,000 for the leg.
That's just wrong.
It's just one of those things. You just think, coming up in the next quarter, Tim Wallis, as playwright, he recorded, indeed we recorded, a live drama from called Pond and Fisher, wasn't it?
Yes.
Pond and Fisher. And we should be playing that out, a little bit of drama for you. And also we're getting in the Jive Aces, a nine-piece band. I don't know how they're going to fit.
DAB Digital Radio. London's LBC 97.3.
It's 1 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Claire Miller. A drug addict from Maida Vale who tortured and killed his baby daughter has been jailed for life. The Old Bailey heard how he thought she was possessed. LBC's Jonathan Blake has the story.
26-year-old Sitab Ullah left three-month-old Samira with injuries from head to foot. She suffered broken ribs, wrists and ankles and cigarette burns all over her body. Ullah worked as an advisor at a school in Paddington and for a time helped out police chaperoning youngsters who'd got into trouble. He'll stay in jail for at least 20 years and his wife will be sentenced for child neglect later.
We find out within the next 15 minutes if there'll be strikes on the Tube on New Year's Eve. The RMT union's been balloting its members about industrial action. The result due to be announced at the union's headquarters in Euston at 1:15. It all started with a row about how many hours Tube staff should have to work every week. A 17-year-old has died after being hit by a high-speed train in West London. He was on the tracks at Hanwell Station last night when he was struck by the Heathrow to Paddington Express. Four other teenagers who were with him managed to get out of the way in time. A £10,000 reward has been put up for information about the murder of a man in northwest London nearly a year ago. 24-year-old Benjamin Onwuka was shot in the head near his home in Harlesden on January the 2nd. Four men arrested the next day were released without charge. Tony Blair is flying out of Iraq after a surprise Christmas visit to British troops serving there. He's told soldiers in the south of the country they should be very, very proud of the work they're doing. This year will be a second longer than last year. The International Earth Rotation and Reference System Service in Paris has decided to add a leap second to the final day of the year on the 31st of December. It'll happen at a second to midnight. It has to be done because the Earth's orbit around the sun isn't perfect, meaning some years a second has to be added or subtracted from universal time. And England's cricketers are raising money for Pakistan's earthquake appeal. They've released their anthem, Jerusalem, with opera singer Kidi. All proceeds are going to charity. Star player Kevin Peterson is just back from Pakistan. And what he saw may convince you to go out and buy the single.
I went to a hospital or a children's ward in Islamabad the first or second week we were there. And, I mean, you see these little kids being a children's ward. You've got the two-year-olds, three-year-olds, four-year-olds, five-year-olds lying in beds with broken limbs and heads smashed in. And it was really, really heart-wrenching and a bit of a tearjerker to see little kids like that. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, and to realise how privileged we are.
Taking a look at London's weather for you. Quite a cloudy afternoon. Staying mild, maybe the odd sunny spell breaking through from time to time. 10 Celsius the top temperature, and 10 Celsius right now it is in Ealing. Sun setting 3:53. Tonight, very similar to last night, mild again with lots of cloud around, lows of 8. Tomorrow, dry, more cloud, and mild again, top temperatures of 10. That's LBC weather with Well Woman Advanced Nutrition Capsules from Vitabiotics, available from chemists and health stores, or visit wellwoman.com. It's 3 minutes past one.
London's LBC 97.3.
Real life, real London.
Excuse me, little boy, I think you'll find there's a queue.
But I want to meet Santa.
Yes,
well, so do I.
So do I.
And me.
Because there's an Olay for every woman, this Christmas Santa will be a very popular man. Give Olay Complete or Total Effects and make her Christmas gorgeous. Love, Olay.
But I've been waiting all day.
I've been waiting all my life. Save up to a third on Olay at Boots this Christmas. Offer ends January 3rd, available in most Boots stores.
London's LBC 97.3. Sandy Toksvig.
Today, Sandy's joined by Helen and Tim.
Brendan Fisher, The Making of Us.
Pond and Fisher Detective Agency, Captain Henry Pond speaking.
Henry, it's Dorinda Maples.
Oh, Dorinda, my dear old thing. How are you? And how's the jazz club going?
That's why I'm ringing. Can you come down and see me later?
Oh, always a pleasure. I'll bring Sergeant Bob Fisher with me too, if I may.
Well, come and see my first set and I'll see you after.
Oh, right you are. See you then. Bye.
Sir?
Well, it's not every day an ex-force's sweetheart rings with a free invite to her club.
Sir, I promised I'd spend the evening with Jackie tonight. I can't possibly...
Nonsense, Robert. Dorinda Maples in cabaret. It mustn't be missed. And besides, she needs our help.
But I promise...
We're not exactly overrun with work, are we? We need to put ourselves about a bit, Robert.
Yeah, well, I think I can leave that to you, sir.
I beg your pardon. Anyway, it'll be a marvellous opportunity for you to hear her and see her fabulous band leader.
Who's that?
His name is Joe Schloss, American. He's a solo trumpeter and waves a baton like no other, practically at the same time.
Yeah, well, they'll be able to pay if I don't get...
No one will be paying for anything unless we get some business. Anyway, I'm sure Jackie will understand.
Understand? I don't see you from one end of the week to the next, cooped up in that office with your old army chum. And what you do in there is anybody's guess.
We are a detective agency.
Look, let's face it, Bob. It's 3 years since the end of the war. You and Henry go round like your Dick Barton and his faithful henchman Gordon, but nothing actually happens.
What else would I do?
Get a proper job.
I've tried. You know the situation.
Captain Henry Pond is a bad influence on you. All that womanising and la-di-da chat of his.
He was the finest officer you could serve under. No one could compare. And he's given me a job on Civvy Street.
Job? Sitting around all day and now you're off to some drinking den.
Dorinda's Jazz Club.
Oh, excuse me.
The captain thinks it would be good for business.
Business, Mom.
And how's my favourite private detective?
Dorinda... You are wonderful.
You're too kind, Henry.
Please meet Sergeant Bob Fisher. Bob, Dorinda Maples.
Hello.
Very nice singing, Mom. Very tuneful. I thought the band was naffing terrible, though.
Robert!
No, he's right. That's partly what I wanted to talk to you about.
I'll just wait by the...
Stage door?
Yeah, that's the one.
See you in 5 minutes.
Excuse me, little boy. I think you'll find there's a queue.
But I want to meet Santa.
Yes,
well, so do I.
So do I.
And me.
Because there's an Olay for every woman, this Christmas, Santa will be a very popular man. Give Olay Complete or Total Effects and make her Christmas gorgeous. Love, Olay.
But I've been waiting all day.
I've been waiting all my life.
Save up to a third on Olay at Boots this Christmas. Offer ends January 3rd. Available in most Boots stores.
London's LBC 97.3.
Sandy Toksvig.
Today, Sandy's joined by Helen and Tim.
London Fisher, The Making of Us.
London Fisher Detective Agency, Captain Henry Pond speaking.
Henry, it's Dorinda Maples.
Oh, Dorinda, my dear old thing, how are you? And how's the jazz club going?
That's why I'm ringing. Can you come down and see me later?
Oh, always a pleasure. I'll bring Sergeant Bob Fisher with me too, if I may.
Well, come and see my first set and I'll see you after.
Oh, right you are. See you then. Bye.
Sir?
Well, it's not every day an ex-force's sweetheart rings with a free invite to her club.
Sir, I promised I'd spend the evening with Jackie tonight. I can't possibly...
Nonsense, Robert. Dorinda Maples in cabaret. It mustn't be missed. And besides, she needs our help.
But I promise...
We're not exactly overrun with work, are we? We need to put ourselves about a bit, Robert.
Yeah, well, I think I can leave that to you, sir.
I beg your pardon. Anyway, it'll be a marvellous opportunity for you to hear her and see her fabulous band leader.
Who's that?
His name is Joe Schloss, American. He's a solo trumpeter and waves a baton like no other, practically at the same time.
Yeah, well, they'll be able to pay if I don't get...
No one will be paying for anything unless we get some business. Anyway, I'm sure Jackie will understand.
Understand? I don't see you from one end of the week to the next, cooped up in that office with your old army chum. And what you do in there is anybody's guess.
We are a detective agency.
Look, let's face it, Bob. It's 3 years since the end of the war. You and Henry go round like your Dick Barton and his faithful henchman Gordon, but nothing actually happens.
What else would I do?
Get a proper job.
I've tried. You know the situation.
Captain Henry Pond is a bad influence on you. All that womanising and la-di-da chat of his.
He was the finest officer you could serve under. No one could compare. And he's given me a job on Civvy Street.
Job? Sitting around all day and now you're off to some drinking den.
Dorinda's Jazz Club.
Oh, excuse me.
The captain thinks it would be good for business.
Business, Mark.
And how's my favourite private detective?
Dorinda, you are wonderful.
You're too kind, Henry.
Please meet Sergeant Bob Fisher. Bob, Dorinda Maples.
Hello.
Very nice singing, Mom. Very tuneful. I thought the band was naffing terrible, though.
Robert!
No, he's right. That's partly what I wanted to talk to you about.
I'll just wait by the...
Stage door?
Yeah, that's the one.
See you in 5 minutes.
Are you sure your colleague won't join us?
No, he's fine.
Is he a detective too?
Certainly is. Couldn't find a job after the war, so I brought him into my little setup.
Oh, how generous.
Saved my life at Dunkirk. Hauled me onto a fishing boat when I thought my number was up. I'd do anything for him.
I did a concert for some of the troops after they returned.
I know, I was there. How could I forget? Your voice and swing jazz like I'd never heard it before. Didn't half perk us all up.
It's a shame more people don't share your tastes. The swing era reminds people of the bad times too much. It's only little clubs like Dorinda's that keep it going.
And you must continue to do so.
That's where I need your help, Henry.
Anything, Dorinda.
Well, all sorts of funny things are happening here, Henry. I rent this club from the landlord and he suddenly got very nasty. Limiting our audience numbers, making us charge more for drinks, demanding we close earlier. All very odd. And then there's the band.
Yes, I'm sorry about Robert's outburst.
No, he was right. But why? They are a great jazz band. But they made me look embarrassing. And it's not the first time.
Well, how does Joe feel about it?
How does he feel about what?
Oh, Mr. Schloss, it's a privilege.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Who's this?
Joe, this is Captain Henry Pond. He's a war hero.
Yeah, the war's over. What does he do now?
He's a private detective.
Yeah, well, maybe he can detect what happened to your singing tonight. It was terrible.
Well, with great respect, sir, I really must disagree.
With great respect, sir, I think you should stay out of it.
I'm sorry, Joe, but maybe with all the uncertainty with the future of the club, my voice was a little shaky.
Shaky? Vestuvius has less tremors.
Oh, no, I really must protest.
And there's no uncertainty. The club is closing at the end of the month, and there's nothing you and I or Private Dick here can do about it.
It's my club, Joe, and I decide when it opens and closes.
Sir, I really have to go. Jackie will be spitting feathers.
Who's this?
My colleague, Sergeant Bob Fisher.
Another dick.
I beg your pardon?
Slang for detective, old chap. Yes, he is, and a very good one. But now I'm afraid I have to get him home to his fair wife, or he won't be good for anything. Miss Maples, it has been sublime. Mr. Schloss, good night.
What was his problem?
I don't know, but I intend to find out.
He doesn't seem very upset about the closure of the club, does he?
No, he doesn't. What are you eating, by the way?
It's a hamburger. There's a joint next door to the club. Jerry's American Hamburgers. Jackie will have chucked me dinner in the dog by now.
Next door? Hamburgers? Now, wait a minute!
Oi!
Who was that?
It came from over there.
Ow! Oh! Just...
Good to see neither of us have lost our skills in unarmed combat.
Oh, no, sir. King's Third Regiment rules. Cop the first punch, then make it be their last.
Who were they?
Dunno, sir, but they'll be wearing some shiners in the morning.
So will you, by the look of it. You go back and get that cleaned up by Jackie.
You joking? She'll give me a matching pair.
I'm going to trot round to the club and have a snoop around.
Be careful, sir. Mind you, it's safer going back there than where I'm going.
I might have known. Caught up in a barroom brawl. You should be ashamed of yourself.
It wasn't like that. We was jumped in the alleyway outside Dorinda's.
I knew that place was bad news. It's seedy.
It's a jazz club. It's supposed to be seedy. Look, they're trying to close it down, and Dorinda Maples is trying to find out why. This is our first proper case in 3 years. You should be pleased.
Well, if you go there again, I'm coming with you. I'm not having you getting into any more scrapes.
That's all I need.
My dear Robert, sorry to drag you down here 2 nights in a row.
Well, I wish you'd called me earlier, sir. I've been sitting in the office all day, worried sick.
My dear old thing, I'm so sorry, but I had to go undercover. But it's been worth it.
What have you found out?
Come up the fire escape into the lighting gantry. I want to show you something. Look down at the band.
Good grief, sir. They're all covered in bruises.
Look at the bass player. You must have caught him an absolute cropper.
What are you doing up here, you two? It's dangerous. You might fall off onto the stage. Oh,
Dorinda, thank goodness it's you.
What happened? You're both covered in bruises.
I got into a bit of a scuff last night. Nothing we couldn't handle, though. Look down there.
You and the boys in the band in a fight.
No wonder Joe doesn't care about the closing of the club. He and the band are all in it together.
Oh, I'm so terribly sorry.
It's not your fault, but this has become a matter of principle. If this club closes, swing jazz in this country is dead, and we cannot let that happen.
But why would he want it to close? It's his livelihood.
Burgers.
I beg your pardon?
That burger you were eating from Jerry's Burger Bar last night.
What about it?
I've been snooping around all day. It turns out the men from Jerry's Burgers and Joe Sloss are in league with each other.
How?
Jerry's Burgers are paying Joe to run down your club so they can take over.
What?
Joe tried to blame your singing, but it was him getting the band to play deliberately badly so the punters would stay away.
But why are my landlords making life so difficult as well?
They're all in it together. It's in the landlord's interest to run Dorinda's into the ground so you can't pay the rent. He kicks you out and sells the place to Jerry's Burgers.
So they're all quids in.
I can't believe Joe would do such a thing.
It is the dawn of the big business, Dorinda. Cash at the expense of art. Soon the planet will be covered in burger bars like Jerry's, and places like this consigned to history.
Oh, it's too sad.
Not if you're making a killing.
Joe!
The only thing you're killing here is jazz, Mr. Schloss.
Only an Englishman could come up with a line like that and get away with it.
Give up, Mr. Schloss. The police were very interested to hear about the bribery and corruption involving you and Joe's burgers.
Joe, you've thrown him over the side!
Sir! It's all right, I'm hanging on.
Not for much longer.
No, I'm not hanging on. I'm going to fall.
Yeah, it's all right, Captain Bond, I've got you.
Jackie, what the hell are you doing down there?
I told you I wasn't going to let you come back here alone.
Oh, Mrs. Fisher, well done you. You broke my fall.
And you broke his snare drum.
Snare drum? How very knowledgeable of you.
Oh, I've always been partial to a bit of jazz.
Oh, Mrs. Fisher, this is a match made in heaven.
It's all right, sir. Mr. Schloss isn't going anywhere.
Oh, I can't thank you enough for what you did tonight.
It was a team effort. We've all played our part in saving the great tradition of swing jazz.
I think this calls for a celebration.
So do I. My husband's actually done something useful.
Oh, he's done plenty, Mrs. Fisher. And with me at his side, he'll be doing plenty more. This will be the making of us.
Thank you, sir.
Here's to Dorinda's and all who sing in her.
Dorinda's!
You've been listening to Tim Wallace as Henry Pond, Nick Cavalieri as Bob Fisher, Adam McQueen as Joe Sloss, Juliet Howland as Dorinda Maples, and Sandy Toksvig as Jackie Fisher. Studio managed by Steve Campen. Pond was written and created by Tim Wallace and produced by Tim Allen and Gary Carpenter. Pond and Fisher is a G&T production for LBC Radio 97.3 FM.
Ian Clarkson. Okay, darling. I can't tell you how packed it is in here. It's probably a health and safety violation, in fact. We have got the Jive Aces in. We've got a double bass. We've got piano. We've got a full drum kit. Trumpet, trombone and saxophone. And it is... the Jive Aces are going to be playing for us. What are you going to do first, Ian?
Wycliffe's at Dover.
Oh, fantastic. And I can also tell you that our missing guest... Ian Kelly has turned up as well.
I blame everybody else.
That's the way forward. So I tell you what, let's start with a bit of a tune, shall we?
All right.
Go for it, Ian.
Just you wait and see. Where there be love and laughter, peace forever after. Tomorrow, when the world is free, where the shepherd can tend his sheep and the valley will bloom again. Jimmy can go to sleep in his own little pad again. Well, there'll be little bluebirds over the white cliff up over tomorrow. When the world is free, Johnny Boy, yeah.
sheep, and the valley will bloom again. Jimmy can go to sleep in his own little pad again. Well, there'll be mellow bluebirds over the white cliff.
Sorry to interrupt that. That was fantastic. I'm Richard Hake in the LBC 97.3 Travel Centre. Edward, thanks a lot for your call on the M4 coming into town. We've got a broken down van on the exit slip at Junction 3 Hayes Parkway. Inside lane blocked and is causing queues back onto the carriageway. In Northolt, the A312 Parkway is down to one lane going southbound for about a mile from the White Hart roundabout. Very heavy on the approach there. That's due to roadworks. M40 coming into town between Junctions 4 and 3. That's Handy Cross down to Loudwater. We've got the outside lane blocked with an accident there. And up towards the north of town in Enfield Wash, Hartford Road is still down to a single shared lane at Ordnance Road following an accident from earlier. That's causing delays both ways. Getting reports of an accident on the M20 if you're going coastbound just before Junction 2 Rootham. A lorry and two cars involved in that one. And for the trains, One Rail have a number of cancellations out to Liverpool Street to Cambridge and Chessant. That's due to industrial action. Also affecting Stansted Express services too. So well worth checking with National Rail before you travel. Your next update in half an hour. LBC 97.3 Travel with Confused.com. When it comes to car insurance, we'll do the legwork for you.
Nick Ferrari has breakfast. Nick Ferrari at breakfast with the multi-talented Samsung D600. The mobile phone you can't manage without.
Your voice is fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought 6'3", Latin lover look, but you're cuddly and I've warmed to you.
I want to fight you.
You want to fight me?
Yes, I want to fight.
No.
Why?
I did martial arts for 12
years. Whoops.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast, weekday mornings from 7 on London's LBC 97.3 with the Samsung D600, the mobile phone with TV output that lets you view photos, movies, PDF files and Microsoft Office documents on a TV screen.
London's LBC 97.3.
Sandy Toksvig.
Today, Sandy's joined by Helen and Tim.
Sorry. Anyway, just describing my tea order that we were having there. We are overwhelmed with people in the studio today, and how lovely is that? The lovely Helen Taylor is here, and Tim Wallers, and we were just playing... in fact, one of your plays went out just now.
Yes, I know.
Which was lovely.
Thank you.
Ian Kelly has managed to get here, despite every obstacle put in his way by the London Underground system. And Ian has written a wonderful new book about Beau Brummel, which we will be coming on to shortly. I'm sure you don't mind sitting and listening to a little bit of music.
Very good, no, what a joy. Yeah.
Now, we've got the Jive Aces in, and Ian Clarkson, who is the lead vocalist. Ian, what is the period of music of Jive? When's it sort of particularly come to the fore?
Well, it's mainly sort of just after the big band period and just before rock and roll.
So what are we talking about? It's kind of years.
Sort of 47 to like 54 or something like that. Really.
Yeah.
But it was obviously before and after that as well.
It's completely infectious, isn't it? I defy anybody to not tap their toes and kind of, you know.
Wonderful.
And want to.
Thank you.
You long to be that girl who can swing up onto somebody's hip.
That's you.
Obviously, that is me. That is the way forward. Now, because I'm not musical at all. I had an idea, because I like to play a lot with words, and I've written out the words that can be played on a musical instrument. OK? Now, there is a list of 7-letter words, and I only managed to find 2 8-letter words that can be played. In other words, it's because it goes A, C, C, E, and I just thought we'd have a go. OK? So I don't know if you boys want to have a look at the list here. I quite fancied hearing Debagged as a musical tune. And who have we got on the piano? We've got Vince.
Vince,
yep.
Do you want to give it a go? Is this debagged? God, that sounds great.
Doesn't that sound nicer musically?
We've got a new number there.
Do you not think that there might be something in this that we could write? We could actually come up with
a
tune.
Give us a boogie woogie on that. Can we get it?
Can we make that into something?
Some sort of
that is brilliant. Wow.
Okay. Well, debagging, always lots of fun. So,
never
so
like
I like that.
So,
but let's try something less fun. Let's go for feed bag, which I think doesn't sound quite as exciting, does it, as debagged? Yeah, well, feed bag.
Feed bag,
yeah.
Quite cheery.
Yeah, quite good.
Yeah.
And you said you weren't musical.
Okay,
you got a few compositions out.
How about cabbage? That must be dull. It's quite pleasant, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? Because I wonder whether, because language has a sort of rhythm, words have a rhythm of their own. It's sort of interesting, isn't it?
When you put them together.
Yeah, that you could suddenly... Well, for the next time I see you, I challenge you to put all these words into a song. And it'll be the debagged cabbage feedback song. Actually, let's put them together. That's a very good idea. Which one did we like best?
Oh, debagged.
Debagged, I think, was it?
Yeah. Debagged cabbage feedback song.
That's quite good.
It's so sweet because I can suddenly see Vince at six trying to work out where middle C is. And sort of picking it all out. Oh, well, see, there, well, that went rather well. I rather like that. Yeah. I'm very pleased with myself with that. Now, then, let's have another tune from you. What are we going to have?
Something very complicated. I thought a little Christmas song, maybe a bit of Jingle Bells or something.
Yes, please.
It's getting that sort of time, isn't it? We've got a Christmas tree over there.
Yes, sort of, yeah. Hanging
virtual
on the wall.
Christmas tree.
Any time, boys. That'll be lovely.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Just to ride in one horse open sleigh. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in one horse open sleigh. Oh, the fields we go, swinging all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to dig the sleighing song tonight. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, the fields we go, swinging all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to dig a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse.
One horse.
One horse open.
One horse open.
One horse open
sleigh. Fantastic. Now where can people go and see you live? Because that's got to be the thing. I mean, you want to get up and dance, don't you? And
have
a go.
Yeah. A lot of dancing.
Where is your? I mean, presumably you're pretty much heading up to Christmas now. But what about in the new year? If people want to come and see
in
you?
The new year. Oh gosh, I had a carefully placed list somewhere, and it's just moved. There you go. It's under the cabbage, and everything. We're London. So we're in. Saturday the 7th of January, we're at the Rhythm Lounge, which is a swing gig, actually, where everybody does dance, which is really good. And they can learn there as well. And that's at the Metropolis, which is St. Paul's, basically, by St. Paul's, London EC4, that says, isn't it? Yeah, that's at the Metropolis, 2 Old Change Court, Peters Hill. And then the 21st of January, we're at the Rivoli Ballroom, which is Broccoli Road in London. And that's a dance as well. Well, they're nearly all dancers, these, don't she?
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll stick it all on our website. If you go to the LBC website, we will do a link through so that everybody can know where to find you. And also, presumably, you've got a website of your own so that people can get hold of the music.
Yeah, that's the jivaces.com, basically.
It makes you feel so good, doesn't it?
Yeah, you just can't help smiling, can you? What did you say? I missed it.
That's the idea. Smiling.
Yeah, good. And make you feel good. I was having a look, actually, which is a little bit earlier. I was having a look at what Christmas would have been like in the 1940s, but you're sort of later part of the 40s, aren't you? The sort of music is more sort of 47, would you say?
More so,
48. Well, if you go back a bit before, Good Housekeeping, for example, in 1940, suggested, why not make a topical Christmas cake in the shape of an Anderson shelter? which I like very much. And there were extraordinary suggestions as well. The Ministry of Food suggested, a Christmassy sparkle is easy to add to sprigs of holly or evergreen for use on puddings. Dip your greenery in a strong solution of Epsom salts. When dry, it will be beautifully frosted. But please remember, no gay bowls of fruit.
A note to us all.
Yes. Vegetables have such jolly colours. The cheerful glow of carrots, the rich crimson of beetroot, the emerald of parsley. It looks as delightful as it tastes. How deeply, deeply depressing. And they suggested that you have a mock turkey.
A mock turkey?
Yeah, it's made of lamb. funnily enough. And also, all sorts of suggestions. Woman magazine in 1945 included instructions for making gifts such as a chubby pink pig from an old vest. You imagine children today? Look, darling, I've got you a chubby pink pig.
Yeah.
Made it from an old vest.
I don't think you'd make it through to Boxing Day.
Not really. And, of course, alcohol was incredibly scarce. So in the Christmas 44 to 45, of the 500,000 inhabitants of Kensington, Hammersmith, Fulham and Chelsea in London, only one woman was arrested that year for drunkenness over the holiday. Go to it, girl. Just that one woman. She made up her mind.
Can't get over there. Only 500,000 people in Hammersmith, Kensington and the surrounding areas. That seems nothing.
And Kelly met that many on the tube on the way.
They were all trying to get to your show.
They were all dashing. I mean, it does seem extraordinary, doesn't it? And at the time, apparently one of the most popular presents for Christmas in the 1940s was soap.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you just...
Doesn't surprise me, no.
Because you couldn't get it and couldn't get a goose to render, as it were, in order to... That is the right word, isn't it? Yes, I'm sure that's right. And Hamley's, the smallest teddy bear at that time, cost 15 and 6, which I suppose was a huge amount. It must have been an enormous amount of money.
I don't know how much. I'm terrible.
Oh, you young people. I remember when half a crown meant something. It meant your granny quite liked you. I remember that. Well, I tell you what we do. We're going to have, in just a bit more time, we're going to have a bit more music from you. Is that OK? We're going to do one more tune.
Absolutely.
And also the lovely Ian Kelly, who is a wonderful actor, but who manages to spend his time backstage rather fruitfully, I think. Is that fair?
Well, we're talking about that on the radio.
I was going to come on to the writing that you do.
Writing, yeah.
But we'll talk about that in just a moment. He's written a wonderful new book called Beau Brummel. It's the ultimate dandy, isn't it?
That's the one.
Yes. And I shall bring back the word jabot, not said often enough on the radio.
I'm Andy Hughes, and I'm the finance director at Total Computer Services in Lincoln. The Disability Discrimination Act means we've made a few small changes to the office, like raising the electricity points and lowering door handles. For any business, keeping hold of good staff makes sense, disabled or not. They'd be missed if they left, and that includes me, too.
Visit the Department for Work and Pensions at dwp.gov.uk/DDA. The DDA, adjusting for better business.
London's LBC 97.3.
Sandy Toksvig.
Today, Sand is joined by Helen and Tim.
I have to tell you that I think the studio is about as crowded as it has been, although we did have the other day, we had a full Palm Court orchestra in as well. The Jive Aces are here, and so too is Ian Kelly, and so too is Tim Wallace and Helen Taylor. And we shall be chatting about the lovely Beau Brummel in just a second.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
It's 1:30. Good afternoon. I'm Claire Miller. There will be a tube strike on New Year's Eve. Rail Union, the RMT, says its members will walk out for 24 hours from noon on December 31st. It's because of a row over staffing levels. A man from Maida Vale who left his three-month-old daughter with head-to-toe injuries and bruises has been jailed for life for her murder. Drug addict Sitab Ullah tortured the youngster because he thought she was possessed. Diego Maradona has been arrested by police at an airport in Brazil after getting into an argument over a missed flight. The star was angry that a flight didn't wait for him and was detained for showing contempt to authorities.
Met police are looking at the video of Kate Moss allegedly snorting cocaine. The supermodel was secretly filmed at a studio in Chiswick in September. She'll find out the results of the police investigation next year once officers have consulted the Crown Prosecution Service. And it looks like it's back to square one in the search for stolen penguin Toga. An anonymous caller said the three-month-old had been dumped in a plastic bag at Portsmouth Harbour, but there's been no sign of him there. Taking a look at London's weather for you then. Quite cloudy for the rest of this afternoon. Top temperatures of 10 Celsius. And right now at Regent's Park, we have got 10 Celsius. Sun setting 3:53. And then a mild cloudy night tonight. It's now 1:31.
London's LBC 97.3.
Real life.
Real London.
London shops on Christmas Eve
are strung with silver bells and flowers
as hurrying clerks the city leave
to pigeon-haunted classic towers
and marbled clouds go scudding by
the many-steepled London sky
and girls in slacks remember Dad
and oafish louts remember Mum
and sleepless children's hearts are glad
and Christmas morning bells say come
even to the shining ones who dwell
safe in the Dorchester Hotel. Happy Christmas from London's LBC 97.3. Real life, real London. Sandy Toksvig.
Today, Sand is joined by Helen and Tim.
It is the penultimate day of the Sandy Toksvig show, and we're trying to go out with a complete bang, and therefore we have an entire team of people in the studio today, including the Jive Aces, and do check out their website, because it is just the most wonderful music, and Ian Clarkson, who is the lead vocalist, is going to lead us in one final tune from them.
Hi. A bit of a one last Christmassy one.
Yeah, go for it.
You got your jingle bells ready?
Ready.
Jingle bells, they have a warmer ring, hoping we can no longer sing. Everybody's all-time favorite Christmas song. 'Cause it's gonna be a white hot Christmas ever since she kissed my lips. 103, the snow is melting. Icicles have disappeared and granted me my wish. It's stockings filled with her sweet kisses. Gonna be a white hot Christmas this year. Oh, St. Nick is looking slick in his right top Lamborghini. Mrs. Claus is dropping jaws in a red polka dot bikini. Oh, Jack Foster's finally lost his cool, now he's got so tan. Now everywhere he goes, sunny days of mistletoe, it's a swinging summer wonderland. 'Cause it's gonna be a white hot Christmas ever since she kissed my lips. 103, the snow is melting. Icicles have disappeared and has granted me my wish. Its stockings filled with her sweet kisses. Gonna be a white hot Christmas this year. Refrigerator. Oh, the North Pole and the South Pole, honeymooning at the equator. 'Cause it's gonna be a white hot Christmas ever since she kissed my lips. 103, the snow is melting. Icicles have disappeared and has granted me my wish. Its stockings filled with her sweet kisses. Gonna be a white hot Christmas, this I'm dreaming of a white hot Christmas this year. Well, a white hot Christmas this year. White hot, baby.
The Jive Aces. Boy, that would set any party going. Fantastic. Now, we have a studio absolutely filled up with musical instruments, and I think we should go from the sublime to the ridiculous as we manage to extricate the drum kit and the piano. Let's have a little listen to our favourite, Mrs. Wing.
those who dresses up to the nine at sixes and seven with you.
Said that song was going on longer than the Falklands conflict. No, we were all at sixes and sevens today, and we don't care, do we?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Penultimate show. Yes. Helen Taylor is here, and Tim Wallers, and I am joined by Ian Kelly. Now, it was a chance meeting. Ian and I met for the very first time yesterday, and he said, just because he's a kind boy, I bought you a book that I've written, and I only knew you as an actor. I didn't know you were a writer as well.
Seemed like the right thing to do. It's well, nearly Christmas. Bring a present.
And I had a look at it, and I thought, no, we must send this out to a wider audience.
Thank you. Well, thank you for that.
No, Beau Brummell, the ultimate dandy. And the reason I remember about Beau Brummell is because I spent a considerable period of my life as a follow spot operator on the musical Annie. And there is there's a line in it, Beau Brummell you.
Beau Brummelly.
Beau Brummelly. Yes.
Clothes, maybe?
Beau Brummelly. That's it. You're never fully dressed without a smile.
Exactly.
And he is still, despite the fact that he was born so very many years ago, a kind of byword for men dressing beautifully, isn't he?
Isn't it amazing how some words, some ideas just, you know, enter and then you don't know quite, you know, where it came from or why? Because, yes, people have generally heard of Beau Brummell, but I don't know why yet, but you can find out if you buy my book.
Absolutely. Helen, you've spent a great deal of your professional journalism career working in fashion. Mm. Is it something that you've heard? Bit of a Beau Brummell?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, funnily enough, actually, a couple of seasons ago, the whole sort of dandinism look sort of really came back. We've sort of seen it with this whole sort of Pete Doherty thing with the sort of like the little kind of crop military jackets and the kind of skewed tip fur and it's very much this whole sort of dandy style which has very much come back into fashion and men being not being afraid of being fashionable and being smart and sophisticated but having a little bit of a kind of flair about them, if you like.
Well,
and
I mean,
he's still very much
David Beckham, for example, who has been bold in the extreme. Mm. And there's quite a lot of male vanity products now, isn't there? There's quite a lot.
Absolutely. The male grooming market's growing enormously. Mm. But he's still very much referred back to. You, if you're writing a copy on this whole sort of new kind of wave of dandinism and the whole look of men being into fashion and the flair and extravagance and being very style conscious, Beau Brummell's always sort of referred to.
Yeah, and he is absolutely the starting point of Savile Row, of that interest in men's fashion that's been, you know, a core part of our culture, and also the story of this city, which is one of the things I wanted to address in the book, because I love
that
period.
What's interesting, darling, is that one of your reviews says it's the best book about London.
It's possibly the best book ever written about London. Can you imagine?
Isn't that extraordinary that you remembered that as well?
I know, extraordinary, isn't it? That just tripped off my tongue.
It's just the actor in you, darling, that you can't help yourself. Okay, let's just go back and do some basics, okay? When is he born? What's
17,
the family?
1778. Born in Downing Street, in the attics of Downing Street, very possibly in what is now the Prime Minister's flat, who knew? But his parents were servants, in effect. Rather, his father was a political servant, secretary to Lord North.
So had it already become the Prime Minister's residence?
Yeah. It was number 5 Downing Square at the time, but it's that same building.
Because this is a strange piece of trivia, but the last private resident at number 10 was a man called Chicken. Mr. Chicken. I don't know why I like that as a piece of information. It's just rather
amusing. Information you do like.
I do, yeah. I know. And it's also the kind of information that only Sandy knows.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. So it's post-chicken days.
But it would have been, after the chicken. Yeah. He kind of comes from nowhere insofar as he's the first commoner ever to lord it over London society, the first person to kind of come from nowhere, himself.
But you say that, darling, but he went to Eton and Oxford and was a member of the Guards or some such brigade.
Well, yeah, he was shoved in the right directions, and an awful lot of money came his way when he came of age because his father had embezzled a lot in politics.
Father was slightly crooked.
Civil servant. And then, launch yourself as a,
But I mean, so we can't completely say commoner, because if he goes to Eton and caused quite a stir at Eton. I mean, was quite the boy with the repartee, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, what's great about Brummell is he's also that classic British story of somebody who's primarily famous for being a wit, a bit like yourself, and finding a way to suddenly become a name, actually through apparently being wonderful company, the funniest man in London, as well as, he has an entree into society through Eton, the Guards, and he becomes best mate to the Prince of Wales, which is always a fast way forward in the 18th century. But it's still kind of revolutionary, because he isn't titled, was all I meant there. And also then what he chooses to do with his fame is completely revolutionary, because he chooses to re-educate how men will dress. And his dandyism is all about dress down. I thought when I was launching in off on this, it would be about a fop, and it's not at all. He's this, this first less is more character, and that at the time was incredibly shocking.
He kind of always he sort of had the opinion, wasn't it, that if actually you're too fashionable, then that was very much a negative.
Yeah, absolutely. If people turn to look at you in the streets, you're not a well dressed, but either too stiff, too tight, or too fashionable.
Mm. So not flancy, more smart and fitted.
Absolutely, it's much more a Tim Wallis kind of metrosexual kind of fitted and slick.
Sure.
Kind of a look. It's radio, so I can get away with that.
Sitting in your fair old.
Isn't it true that he had a huge influence on the Prince of Wales's, the way he dressed and everything? I mean, wasn't part of the Prince of Wales's sort of fame, the then Prince of Wales, that he had, he was also dressed incredibly well, and that
London, wasn't it, really?
Well, yeah, he has this big effect because the Prince Regent, when he was Prince of Wales, dresses like a panto dame, and then after the influence of Brummell, you get the beginnings of the suit. I mean, you cannot overstate the importance of Brummell in the history of fashion. Yeah. And there are historians out there who'll argue that that's kind of, one of our great kind of gifts to world culture, the tailored look, as it were.
And how does his story reflect the story of London, darling? Because if people say it's a very London-centric book.
Because his family is very closely allied with the West End sex trade, and I'm particularly interested in all of that wonderful way in which what became the fashionable West End starts off as that louche part of town where boys go to party, and then becomes part of town where men go to shop. But it's the origins of the fashionable West End being told through partly the ascendancy of the Brummell family from servants to the most famous man in London over the course of two generations, and then this guy who then also gets destroyed. I mean, it's a wonderful, it's an incredibly dramatic story. Nothing to do with what I've done. This is why there've been so many films and plays and
soon
stuff
to be based on your book, in fact.
Yeah.
Very exciting. We shall find out more in just a moment, but we go first to the travel. How gripping is Richard Hake here?
Let's go up to the northeast of town, first of all, in Woodford. We've got an accident on the roundabout at Waterworks Corner, just off the North Circular. The emergency services on the scene there dealing with that one, but it is likely to cause us quite lengthy delays. M1 going out of town, already looking very heavy with the Christmas rush. 20-minute delays from 6 up to 9, that's Watford North, the A5. A1 Holloway Road showing 20-minute delays out of town from Upper Street in Islington up towards Archway. And we've got some problems if you're coming into town on the M40 between junctions 4 and 3. That's Handy Cross down to Loudwater. We've got the outside lane blocked with an accident. That's adding about 15 minutes onto usual journey times. Wandsworth and the A3 West Hill is crawling into town from Tibbetts Corner to the Wandsworth Gyratory. And if you're coming into town on the M23, around junction 9 Gatwick, we've got the inside lane coned off with a broken down coach. That's causing quite heavy traffic on the approach there too. M20 coastbound, accident cleared just before junction 2 Rooton, but if you are heading to the coast, bear in mind we've got an accident further along now around junction 10 Ashford South. On the tubes, severe delays on the Jubilee and District lines, and the Circle line has minor delays clockwise. Your next update in half an hour, LBC 97.3 Travel with Confused.com. When it comes to car insurance, we'll do the legwork for you.
London's LBC 97.3 is walking for wishes with Fairy Liquid and the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Last year's Christmas walk raised over £50,000. This year we want to raise money to grant even more wishes for children living with life-threatening illnesses. The Walking for Wishes 1 Mile Christmas Walk is on December the 27th at the Royal Park in Greenwich. For everyone who registers, Fairy will donate £1 to Make-A-Wish. So register now at lbc.co.uk. Fairy, Walking for Wishes on December the 27th with London's LBC 97.3.
Sandy Toxvig.
Today, Sand is joined by Helen and Tim.
We are now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness.
Extraordinary broadcast that was Christmas Eve 1966, and it was the Apollo 8 crew who were circling the Earth. They made the very first space broadcasts. And what's extraordinary is that this astonishing scientific achievement, what they chose to read was Genesis. I mean, it is sort of an odd kind of thing. And I remember it very well. I was 8 years old. I was young. I was 8 years old, but I remember tremendous sense of emotion, what that must have felt like to be up there in space and looking down at the Earth. Incredible pictures that we had. As early as 66. But it's just a curious thing, isn't it? You would think scientists, maybe they might read, I don't know, something else, but...
What do you think of all these conspiracy theories that they're going for nowadays about whether it was all...
Whether it was a fake...
Hand on my heart can tell you for sure that it was real, because in 1969, on the day Neil Armstrong stepped out onto the moon, I was standing in Mission Control in Houston next to Neil Armstrong's secretary.
Wow. You're joking!
There's no way that was a fake. So there you go. And I was there when the rocket took off.
Well, hang on.
You can't just kind of like...
So I would be one of the few people that can tell you for an absolute certainty that it did happen.
Can we know why you were there?
My father was a journalist, and in those days, nobody thought anything about children kind of hanging around the place. It was fine. So we were at Cape Kennedy when the rocket took off. And then we transferred to Houston, and we were in... There were no security passes. We were just in and out. And I met Neil Armstrong's secretary, and she was very nice, and I must have been a cute little kid in a Stetson. And I was about 11, but I was tiny.
Yeah.
And I had this huge American cowboy hat, and she made friends with me, and I stood and held her hand while Neil Armstrong stepped out into
the... Oh, that's incredible, Sam.
So I don't think... In my mind, she would have to been the most phenomenal actress in the world, and the tension in that room was palpable. These were not people who were kidding around.
It's not so much. It's not so much whether it was. I mean, I think most people would believe, obviously, that it happened. But it's why they want to say that it was a conspiracy theory at all.
Well,
I mean,
because the whole Russian and American thing, wasn't it? It was trying to dispel the fact that the Americans had reached there before the Russians. And
there were difficulties about it, because the only place they could land was on the dark side of the moon. They landed in the Mare Tranquillitatis, the Sea of Tranquility, and so therefore you couldn't with your naked eye see it. And people have that thing of, I need to see it in order to understand it. But I mean, the fact is, I don't understand how television and radio works. I haven't the faintest idea, so... I listen to the radio and I don't really get how that functions. That doesn't mean it doesn't function.
Yeah.
You know, so there's all sorts of... And also my father read every single technical manual about what was going on. It's impossible that
it's amazing the love of conspiracy theories, though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's been around almost anything, and once it's off, it just has a life of its own, inexplicably.
But also I have to say, I would pay tribute to my parents that they thought that was better for me than going to school.
Oh, totally.
Experience and you can't relive that.
So you need to come with us now. Yes. We're going to go do this thing. This is the rocket thing.
Who was he reporting for?
Danish television. He was a foreign correspondent for Danish television.
Wow.
Like, he was the Richard Dimbleby of Denmark.
Really?
Wonderful.
Distinguished broadcaster.
Do you find the oversized Stetson still gets you kind of anywhere? You know,
okay, do you know what's really sad?
Because you probably haven't grown much.
I still have it, and it's still too big. So that's a bit tragic.
Oh, dear.
Now then, it's our last time together.
It is indeed. And I can't say what I wanted to say now, so I'll say it after four. You, personally.
Oh, you're very
but
sweet.
But it's been...
I hope it's nice things.
Of
now she's not going to broadcast it.
It's been lovely.
Suddenly
it's,
worrying, isn't it?
It's been lovely. It really, really has. But look, at 2 o'clock, I've had to change the programme slightly because Bob Crowe of the RMT's called this strike on New Year's Eve at midday. So it's kind of messed up a lot of people's plans, really, hasn't it?
Well, that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Well, we know that, but I'd like to find out how people feel.
Leverage.
About it, you know, because it's a bit of an inconvenience for a lot of people who were planning to maybe have that extra drink, leave the car at home, as we're told to, go out and celebrate. So why New Year's Eve? Midday, why do it? It's messing up a lot of plans.
Well, it was interesting. I out of the corner of my eye while wrapping presents yesterday, I was watching a piece on the BBC's London programme, and they persuaded a woman with small children to give up her car for a week, I think it was. Mm. And she had nothing but a nightmare. Couldn't get the pushchair on the bus. The bus this didn't turn up. Mm. She couldn't get anywhere on time. Mm. She said, I really want to do this. I really, really want to do this, but it's a nightmare. Mm. I can't get it to work for me. So, you know, fine, they want to strike and you know, get some more money. Well, I always, you know, everybody wants to feel they could earn a bit more.
But why New Year's Eve?
Why New Year's Eve?
And why inconvenience so many people? But it's, you know, any other day.
Get some in the headlines.
So, there you go. That and more after two.
Well, we look forward to hearing
you. Take care.
Yeah, you take care of yourself. The lovely Angela Diana Greaves, who will be with you after 2 o'clock, and you can give her a call on 0870-9090-973. Now then, we were talking to the actor and writer Ian Kelly about his new book about Beau Brummel, The Ultimate Dandy. And I just wanted to mention the word jabot, because I don't think it's his second enough.
I love a bit of a jabot.
Which is a sort of frilly bit at the front of your shirt. Mm. And I don't know if they were... Helen, were they separate? Did you add the jabot to a plain shirt?
You could do, yeah. I mean, very much, I think in Regency times, it was separate, wasn't it? It was kind of put... I mean, because there was different sort of levels of frills that
there's
really.
Stock or cravat,
and then the frilly bit can, if it's a special occasion.
Well, an added bonus to my book, The Ultimate Dandy, ideal Christmas present according to the Times, is that every chapter starts with, in fact, a guide of how to tie a cravat slightly differently, which is from a wonderful document called Neclothitania, by One of the Cloth, or How to Tie Your Cravat, which was a bestseller at the time, the sort of the how to dress like Brummel. And at the back, there's a little appendix which explains every little illustration. So you can have your own stock cravat or jabot should you wish to have that sort of party.
Do you think they might make a bit of a comeback? Cravats and cravats.
I can see anything in fashion, it always does come back. And I can see, I can definitely see it coming back.
Do you know what I love? Do you know the actor Charles Collingwood who plays in The Archers?
He wears
Brian in The Archers. He wears one always.
Yes, he
always
does.
Has
absolutely
has a perfectly tied cravat. And I like it. I think it's very, very fine.
What I think is a real testament to Brummel's sort of sense of style, though, is that how he very much influenced his peers. I mean, he was very much, you know, his contemporaries at the time was, I mean, you know, as far as fellow playwrights and actors, I mean, they very much, a bit like you saying David Beckham, having a huge influence on sort of modern...
Well, he was a star of his time, wasn't he?
Oh, completely. I mean, people turned up literally to watch him dress. I mean, there was the dressing ritual at 4 Chesterfield Street, the house still exists, and everybody would turn up, I mean, Byron, the Prince Regent, just to watch how Brummel tied his cravat, you know, shaved. So it was this whole
sort of... My neighbours do that with me, but mostly they go, no, really, Sandy, you can't wear it. It's hopeless. I love the idea of people coming over to watch you dress. It's like very occasionally you still get you get an invitation that says so-and-so will be in on a Thursday afternoon. You just think, well,
so
it's good for you. Well done, you. I'm very, very pleased.
It's thought, though. People queuing up. Yes. Come on, you missed the show.
Yes. It's quest time.
Trousers are getting on.
In just 1 second, I'll give you all the details of where you can get this matchless book.
Oh, Neil, the doc should really have a look at that, you know.
What, this? Oh, don't be daft. It's just a scratch. Don't poke it.
Yeah, but it doesn't look right.
I'll be okay. I've got another one. Somewhere.
Now you're gone a funny colour.
Now don't be so dramatic.
Nobody wants to get ill when Doc Martin's in town. Martin Clunes returns as the grumpy Doc. Lindemann's Wine sponsors Doc Martin, the new series, tonight 9 p.m. on ITV1.
Hold me, Joseph.
Gotcha.
Sandy Toxley.
Today, Sand is joined by Helen and Tim.
Can I just say that I've been overwhelmed by handwritten letters, by emails and so on from so many people that I just haven't had time to read them all out. And also, they say nice things and it's embarrassing. There's that British embarrassment thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If they were worried, I'd read them out with amusement.
Read one of them out.
No.
I'll read one of them out.
No, you're all right.
Oh, go on.
I can tell you that I've had lovely emails from people such as Victoria of Isha, a lovely one from Dave, who drives a London bus. A lovely one from Wayne Benham, who fixes security systems for a living. I love the fact that everybody did something different. From Julie Moyle, who sent me lots of lovely licorice, which was incredibly kind, and so on and so on. So lots of lovely people. So thank you very much. Tomorrow is our very last show. I know, end of an era. And I shall do my very best not to get too emotional. I don't think it's unlikely.
You are so going to cry.
Yeah, I think it's almost certain. Tim says I may not, because he may have something horrid planned for me. So in which case, I'd be jolly glad to leave, frankly.
Yeah, you can see the back of him.
It is that very odd thing. Ian, you must have done long runs in the theatre of things. You must have that thing where you've got to say goodbye to a company who have become your family for a while.
It's ghastly, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's ghastly. It's apart from that feeling that, you know, you will all meet up again in some, you know... It's like, you know, Tim and I were disreputable young actors in our distant past, and now we're disreputable...
Older actors.
Yeah.
But it is always difficult to move on, I think. Whatever you do for a living, it's difficult to move on. I mean, Tim, you were in Mamma Mia for a year?
Yes, I was. And there were people in it who'd been in it for longer, and I think it really is. It's a wrench. And when you get a really nice group of people like that, which that was, and like it is for you here, it is. And a couple of weeks after, it's a quite dislocating feeling.
Yeah, and also that you've timed your day always, that's when you turn up, and that's
exactly
what you do. And
yeah.
Then suddenly all that free time.
You'll start talking to yourself around about this time of day, won't you? You'll start broadcasting in the
bathroom. Yeah. No, what I'm going to do, darling, is I'm going to have lunch with all the people that I normally broadcast with.
Yeah.
We'll have exactly the same conversations that we would have had.
And with lots more swearing.
Yeah, and it'll be exactly the same, so it'll be no different at all. I have to say that the freedom to manage the time of your own day, I think, is joyous.
But particularly for you, with all your commitments, I mean, you know, you that extra couple of hours, 3 hours, and just the broadcasting alone will be welcome, I would have thought, because you rush around.
It's mad.
I think what's lovely, though, is that actually, I mean, obviously it's very sad that you are leaving, but at the same time, you're leaving when all you have is good memories of your time here.
Yeah.
And that's a real positive, I think.
Apart from that day you made me go to a shoe shop.
Yeah.
It's not all
yes,
good.
Apart from the trauma I put you through.
And it's been lovely as well to be able to, I mean, the privilege of being able to say, you know, I just met Ian Kelly, can he come on the show? You know, that we've been able to have a kind of free-flowing programme where we can do that and say, this is interesting, this would be good, let's put it on the air, you know.
And I think it's exactly that. And people who don't necessarily, you know, who you haven't met before, but just meet recently and you get them on the show, I mean, it's fantastic for them as well. And I think everybody really appreciates the opportunity you give
them.
Well,
and thank you for writing for us, Tim. It's been terrific. I can tell you that Beau Brummel, The Ultimate Dandy, is published by Hodder & Stoughton. And we will put it on our website with a direct click link to Amazon so you can purchase from your desk.
Lord love you.
See, how fabulous is that? So Ian, my new friend. That's very nice. And Helen and Tim, my old friends. If you just tuned in, well, you missed the Jive Aces. A Panto Dame and Beau Brummel. Tomorrow's our very last show, and I can promise you we'll have a bit of festive fun. Meanwhile, I leave you in the safe embrace that is Angela Diana Greaves.
Thank you, Sandra Bagita Toksvig. We've got some Christmassy bits to do. We've also got a dilemma, but because of the news that came, I think it was at around 1:30 about this strike of the tubes on New Year's Eve from midday. I'd like to start the show by getting your thoughts on that first. Is it going to put your plans completely out of action if you are planning to celebrate New Year's Eve? More after 2 on London's LBC 97.3.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.